calling it a national crisis. What's your experience been? And
if you're one of the many people thinking of doing Dry January, here's a little tip for you. Keep it to yourself. It's boring. You're boring.
Experts are divided on whether Dry January is a good idea. Will you be partaking this year? And if so, why? 0345 6060 973.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, the Prime Minister says he aims to defeat decline and division in 2026. Sir Keir Starmer used his New Year message to say he knows life is still harder than it should be for many. Reform UK leader Nigel Farage said this year could be the last chance to restore proper values.
We may well be the last chance this country has to actually restore some proper values. Those of family, community, country, the ones upon which I based this party when I founded it in the very beginning.
Tory leader Kemi Badenoch attacked Labour's recent tax rises, but said she's not giving up on our country. And Lib Dem leader Sir Ed Davies said he was hoping for wins in the local and devolved elections this year. Ukraine's president has used his New Year address to say he wants to end the war with Russia, but not at any cost. Volodymyr Zelensky promised the Ukrainian people he would not sign a weak peace deal.
Let us begin with the most important thing. What does Ukraine want? Peace? Yes. At any cost? No. We want the end of the war, not the end of Ukraine.
President Putin has told Russians he's confident they will win the war. Thousands of people turned out to watch huge firework displays in Edinburgh and London. 12,000 were part of a display on the River Thames from the London Eye. It's now 2026 in the US Midwest and parts of Central America too. In the past few minutes, we've heard reports of a fire at a bar in the Swiss Alps has left people dead and injured during New Year celebrations. Local media say police confirmed fatalities and injuries, but didn't give exact figures. It happened at the alpine ski resort of Crans-Montana in Switzerland. As cold weather alerts are issued, many households will see their energy bills rise from today. The price cap is going up by 0.2%, adding about 28 pence to the average monthly bill. And health visitors will be able to offer vaccinations to children from struggling families across parts of England. The £2 million government pilot aims to improve immunisation rates. Not one childhood vaccine in England met the 95% target in 2024. LBC weather, a very cold and frosty start to the new year with some snow and ice for northern parts, a high of 9 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Lottie Morley.
Wellness. What even is wellness? Cleanses, routines, regimes, biohacks, stacks, schedules, procedures, programs. I suppose so. But can it just be a cup of... Pukka Herbal Tea. Ah, Pukka. Nothing beats nature.
Is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Henry Reilly.
3 minutes past seven is the time. Good morning and a happy new year. You're listening to Henry Reilly here on LBC this hour.
Cold conditions are expected to last well into the start of the first week of January.
Snow and ice warnings have been issued into this weekend, but where, we'll tell you. Plus, later on, I'll be joined by the businessman James Daunt, who's head of Waterstones in the UK, and Barnes & Noble in the US. Staying with business.
Shame. 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 Shame.
The iconic scene from Game of Thrones. A real shame, though, that the popular HBO series, the only Game of Thrones studio tour, £55 million it cost, by the way, has now started to report a loss. We'll discuss that in our business news. Also,
there's a huge, huge shortage of aid. And, of course, it's winter also in Gaza, and that means that there's very little shelter.
Israel will stop dozens of aid organisations working in Gaza after they fail to meet, in Israeli government's view, new requirements, including parts of Oxfam, and we'll speak with a senior coordinator from that charity later. And the new series of The Traitors is on today, but can we really go back to the normal version after the success of...
I am a favourite. I am a favourite. I just get nervous. Oh.
Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. This is LBC.
And it's lovely to have your company. 5 minutes past seven is the time, and you're listening to Henry Reilly here on LBC. Happy New Year. Let's get out of the way now. Happy New Year. Hope you have a lovely 2026 and that 2025 was good. If not, then I'm sure this year is going to be much, much better. Did you stay up and watch the fireworks? I did. I was quite impressed, actually. I thought it was pretty good. Although even that seems to be controversial now. You can't even say you enjoyed fireworks. I didn't stay up. I thought I was going to do it. And then it got to about 11, and I thought, I've got to be up at just gone 4. I can't stay up for this. So I did. I missed it, but I watched it all 14 minutes, by the way, on my bus in. And I thought it was quite good. But then I went on X afterwards, and everyone seems to hate it. So you can't even enjoy fireworks without controversy these days. Why did so many people hate it? We might come on to that later. Anyway, discussing this hour, the New Year's messages that have come out, and we did much the same at Christmas, but they've insisted, the politicians, on doing another one, because that's exactly what you want going into the new year, to hear from all of the various political party leaders. And really, the most important, of course, given he's the Prime Minister, is Sir Keir Starmer insisting that the government, his government, will defeat the decline and division offered by others by staying the course with efforts to improve public services and the cost of living. The Prime Minister acknowledged that life is still harder than it should be for many people. But when he says he's going to stay the course and improve public services and the cost of living, A, do you believe him? Do you think Keir Starmer can really turn it around? 0345 6060 973 is the number to call. How can he and his government get off to 2026 in a positive way? What would your suggestions be? As I say, the number is 0345 6060 973. This was the Prime Minister in his New Year's address.
Things have been tough in Britain for a while. For many, life is still harder than it should be. In 2026, the choices we've made will mean more people will begin to feel positive change in your bills, your communities, and your health service. But even more people will feel once again a sense of hope, a belief that things can and will get better. The challenges we face were decades in the making, and renewal is not an overnight job. But putting our country back on a stable footing will become our strength. When things start to feel easier, when politics shows it can help again, when Britain turns the corner with our future now in our control, the real Britain will shine through more strongly. Happy New Year.
Did that reinvigorate you? Were you impressed by what you heard from the Prime Minister? What of the opposition as well? You'll hear from the opposition politicians, starting with Kemi Badenoch from the Conservatives.
Happy New Year. There is a lot to look forward to this year. No, not Labour's tax rises, but a Winter Olympics, a World Cup, and for political geeks, local elections. Last year was difficult for many people. No growth, higher taxes, and record unemployment, with lots of people losing their jobs. Many in our country are finding it harder and harder to imagine life getting better. But we shouldn't lose hope. Britain is not destined for decline. We are a great country full of talent, humour and strength. Things can change, but only if we have a plan for change.
Conservative leader Kemi Badenoch, the Liberal Democrats, and Sir Ed Davey.
Fighting to end the cost of living crisis, protecting our environment, fixing the NHS and social care, these are our battles, as well as standing up to Donald Trump and Elon Musk, taking the fight to Nigel Farage and winning. And we can win again in 2026 in Scotland, Wales and across England to stop Trump's America becoming Farage's Britain and change our country for the better. So from all of us at the Liberal Democrats, I hope you have a happy and hopeful new year. Let's make it a good one.
Nice to get the orchestra in there as well. Nice touch from Sir Ed Davey. He mentioned Nigel Farage, the man who ended the year at the top of the polls. This is what the Reform UK leader had to say.
We may well be the last chance this country has to actually restore some proper values. Those of family, community, country, the ones upon which I based this party when I founded it in the very beginning. But we cannot do this without you. And you will not get the change you want without us.
9 minutes after seven is the time. So Janet Daly from The Telegraph in a moment. First, though, Paul Richards is a Labour writer and commentator and joins me now. That message, Paul, your thoughts from the Prime Minister, first of all, has that done enough, do you think, to reinvigorate the troops?
Well, to the extent that anyone is listening to these Christmas or New Year messages, I guess it would be. Yeah, I think the tone is just right. And when you're writing one of these things, it's all about tone. Nobody really remembers the words, but how they feel is important. And if he just rocked up and said, oh, everything's marvellous, it's all going terribly well, you know, carry on, it would have been exactly the wrong tone and it would have been very discordant. So for him to come in and say, look, things are pretty rough, and let's face it, Henry, they are, I think is the right thing. But he then introduced an element of hope, which is what this whole government strategy is based on. Tough decisions now with payoff down the line. So It was a sort of a mini encapsulation, I guess, of the next 3 years of the election campaign.
He talks about improving public services and the cost of living. I mean, he basically said the same thing last year and nothing's improved.
Well, some things have improved. I mean, the National Health Service and so on. People are seeing, some more money in their pockets if they're on the national minimum wage. That's coming in. The interest rate cuts, so the government can point to things that are improving. But he also makes the point, quite rightly, I think, that it's a slow process. It can't be done overnight, he said. And, people that turn up and say, I can fix all your problems quickly, are lying, because the hard yards of government, it's tough. And where people have been elected for the first time, for example, in Kent with Reform UK, they're finding that it is hard to govern and to run public services and to turn things around. And they're coming a cropper because they're not meeting their own pledges. So, I think it was a reality check. I think he's a serious grown-up kind of politician. He doesn't set the heart aflutter. Wouldn't necessarily to have wanted to have my champagne last night with him at New Year's Eve. But on the other hand, I'm quite glad that there's a grown-up in charge. And I think that's the tone that he set in this New Year's message.
That's the image. What does a Keir Starmer New Year's Eve look like? I doubt it's particularly raucous, but I note your point, Paul. You've been a special advisor in the past. What needs to change at the start of this year? Is it the man himself? Is it the policies? Or is it actually the way it's conveyed, the optics, the sort of media narrative?
Well, there's been a fairly rocky road in the optics. We all know that sometimes the communications has failed. But, governments aren't elected and unelected based on optics. They're based on policy and delivery. So my message to the Labour Party and the Labour government is to get on with delivering the things that people want. A lot of the insurgency on the left and the right, which he referred to obliquely in his reference, in his message, by the way, when he talked about people selling division and decline, a lot of that is the result of people's frustrations. People think things aren't changing fast enough. People feel somehow it's someone else's fault that their wages are flatlined and so on. So, he addressed that. And I think if a government can show that politics works, that you can get the change you voted for over a parliament, not overnight, but over a parliament, then I think a lot of that insurgency on the left and the right, the Greens and Reform, is muted and is dented. And people, for Labour to win the next election, it only needs to persuade people who voted Labour last time. It doesn't need to flip a single vote. And yes, what the Americans would call the midterms, these council elections and elections in Wales and Scotland coming up, and London, of course, are going to be really tough. But the real test will be at a general election in 3.5 years' time. So the message is, all this noises off about leadership contests, I think, is a nonsense. And the Tories taught us that swapping leaders doesn't work. But delivery, we know from experience, does. So let's get on with it. It's the anniversary this year of the 1966 Labour victory, where they won from incumbency, a majority from being in government already. And it shows that you can win in government a second term.
Yeah.
And we won't won the World Cup.
I was going to say, hopefully that's another parallel we follow as well. Paul Richards, thank you. Labour writer and commentator. Janet Daly is a columnist for The Telegraph. Janet, how important are these midterm elections? I know they're not strictly called that over here, but how important is that going to be for Keir Starmer's premiership, do you think? Good morning and Happy New Year.
They are going to be important, but and actually local elections are not necessarily a harbinger of a general election result. I think they're going to be disastrous for Labour. But I, for the life of me, I cannot understand whoever wrote this speech, what he had in mind. The tone is so patronising. He says you long for a bit more money in your pockets, a meal out, a holiday, the chance to make a special family moment extra special. It sounds like he's talking to six-year-olds. And then he goes on to say that he's going to bring about the real change that's needed. Well, the real change that's needed, as we all know, even he knows, is economic growth. And yet the things that he recommends, that he says he's going to continue to do, is more spending, more police on the streets, new health hubs, more funding for local communities. Well, that's been exactly the thing that's wrong with his policy. He spends, but he doesn't increase economic growth. He says, with that change, decline will be reversed. No, it won't.
Well,
it's his spending commitments that have made the decline worse. I don't understand what the logic of this at all is at all, and I don't understand how he expects his audience even to believe for a moment that somehow the policies that he's been perpetrating on us for the past year, which he obviously intends to be committed to, are going to bring about what he calls the pace of change. The pace of change is all about economic growth. Doesn't he understand what that is and what it is that increases economic growth as opposed to reversing it?
What did the speech need to say, in your view, Janet?
It needed to say, obviously no Prime Minister would say this, but it needs to admit somehow tacitly that they got things wrong, that the measures that they brought in actually militate against economic growth, which is now absolutely essential. Everybody in the country, you don't have to have an economics degree to know that if you increase the cost of employing people by raising the national insurance contribution on employees, you're going to employ fewer of them. That's how business works. It's not selfishness. It's just the logic of business. So naturally, there are going to be more jobs lost. There are going to be fewer young people getting into employment. So there are going to be more young people who will be dependent on welfare benefits. And as a result, the government will be spending more, and there will be less economic growth. It's simple. It's not something that requires a sophisticated understanding of economics. If they really don't understand that, they've got a really serious problem. But I think they do understand it. And the reason that they can't do what we all really want them to do, which is to say, slow down on the spending and encourage economic growth, is because that would split their party asunder. They cannot hold the left wing of their party without all these spending commitments and without failing to reform the welfare of the benefit system.
Thank you, Janet. Much appreciated. Janet Daly is columnist for The Telegraph. Over to you now. You've heard from two experts there, one from The Telegraph, one who previously worked for the Labour Party. Can Sir Keir Starmer turn it around? What do you see as the big hurdles for him this year? How will he end 2026, in your view? 0345 6060 973, the number to call, plus...
Cold conditions are expected to last well into the start of the first week of January.
But where? We'll tell you in a moment. Plus the latest, as reported in our news bulletin, several people have been killed after an explosion in a bar in a Swiss ski resort. More on that in a moment. 7:17 the time, the news with Lottie Morley.
The Prime Minister says he aims to defeat decline and division in 2026. Ukraine's president has used his New Year address to say he wants to end the war with Russia. And we've heard reports of a fire at a bar in the Swiss Alps has left people dead and injured during New Year's celebrations. LBC weather, a very cold and frosty start to the year with some snow and ice in northern parts, a high of 9 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays on the M40 northbound up to Junction 2 at Beaconsfield. Just after the junction, there's been an accident and only one lane is open. On the Surrey stretch of the M25, one lane is closed clockwise at Junction 6 at Godstone, and that's where a car's broken down. And then on the M11 northbound at the M25 junction, there's been an accident, so one lane is closed for recovery. In central London, because of the New Year's Day parade, lots of roads are closed. Roads are closed all the way from Green Park Park all the way through Piccadilly Circus, Trafalgar Square and down Whitehall to Parliament Square. And on the trains, no southeastern trains to Charing Cross and Waterloo East throughout today.
This is LBC.
Listeners, we interrupt the airwaves to share an incredible discovery. The reason why Britain hasn't been so great of late is because the country hasn't been eating enough Weetabix. We must get to work in rebuilding Great Britain, Bix by Bix, by delivering Weetabix to whoever plans the traffic diversions, to delivery drivers who can't seem to find your house, and people who don't stack the dishwasher properly. To Britain, we must say, have you had your Weetabix?
At Pets in a Pickle, we know what it's like welcoming a new pet into the family. Whether it's a curious kitten or a wobbly-legged puppy, they're cute, they're chaos, and sometimes they get themselves into a pickle. That's why we offer fuss-free pet insurance policies with unlimited video call access with First Vet. So the only thing you have to worry about is keeping them away from your favourite vase. For pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped for the sports media industry. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Niamh, a sports media student in Year 12.
During class, I've edited football videos for socials, reported on games, and even produced my own highlight packages. Working directly with the industry makes me excited for my future career in sports broadcasting.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in Years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
Simone combined her old pensions with PensionBee.
So I had multiple pensions from various jobs that I have been in, and every 6 months or so I would receive a statement, and I was losing track of all my different pensions and all the different statements. I just wanted one easy way of keeping them all in one place.
At PensionBee, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to PensionBee.com and be pension confident when investing your capital is at risk.
Henry Reilly on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
7:21 the time. Khaled in Leicester coming to you in a moment. The Prime Minister in his New Year's message. I want to know how many takes they all took, by the way. Did Keir Starmer do it all in one take? Same with Kemi Badenoch, Nigel Farage. You do sort of wonder if they were there all afternoon trying to do it. Nonetheless, the version that we saw, Sir Keir Starmer has insisted his government will defeat the decline and division offered by others by staying the course with efforts to improve public services and the cost of living. I want to know if you buy it, will this year get better on those two fronts? And can Sir Keir be the man to turn it all around? Your calls on that in a moment. 0345 6060973. Quickly through the front pages. The Times. Special needs support at risk in cost-cutting plans. We'll be talking about this later on in the show. Parents whose children have moderate mental health or developmental needs are to be stripped of their legal right to certain supports under plans being considered by ministers. They have a picture of the... that's a Sydney fireworks as well, because, of course, the time the papers are printed. The Sun, intruder at Will's and Kate Palace. An intruder twice got into the grounds of William and Kate's Kensington Palace residence just days before Christmas. A 39-year-old was seen with a heavy rucksack and climbed the fence before he was nicked in the gardens on both days. Where did he get to do it again? The Star, police manhunt, Joshua Trucker on run. This is the story we touched on the other day. Cops are now hunting the driver of Anthony Joshua's SUV that ploughed into Nigeria's deadliest road, we are now told. The Eye paper, health and travel alerts issued as big freeze begins, and we'll be speaking about the weather in just a second. The Guardian, the year of proof, Starmer to woo MPs with push to cut cost of living. The Daily Telegraph, Mahmood vows to fight European judges over Begum. And they've got another picture of New Year's. Where's that? Oh, this is Molly Taylor South. I don't know who that is. From Britain, posing ahead of the fireworks display. There we go. The Daily Mirror, 2026 will be better, Sir Keir Starmer has said in an exclusive interview with the Daily Mirror, or he's written an article at least. The Daily Express, let them hear the truth to stop millions more suffering. This is an intervention. Well, I say intervention, actually. She's led the charge. Dame Esther Ranson urging the public to help with the assisted dying bill by writing to peers who oppose it. And the Daily Mail, digital IDs for babies. Ministers discuss sinister plan in secret meeting. This is reporting by the paper that suggests Cabinet Office Minister Josh Simons is looking at Estonia, and that there are some countries that have digital IDs for babies. Is that something you would be happy with in the UK. I get the sense probably not. 7:24 is the time. Khaled, coming to you in just a second. But as you've heard in our news bulletins, this breaking story, several people, it is reported, have been killed after an explosion at a bar in a Swiss ski resort, I should say. Fraser Knight is LBC's reporter, joins me in the studio with the very latest. Morning, Fraser.
Henry, good morning. This is the Crans Montana Ski Resort, which is around 2 hours south from the capital of Bern in the Swiss Alps, the region of Valais. It's very popular with British tourists. And overnight, during New Year's celebrations, we're told that there was a fire in this bar, a blast in the Le Constellation bar. Some reports from local media suggest it may have been a result of fireworks being used inside a concert, but we're told that several people have been killed. We haven't been given an exact number, we haven't been given an exact reason for this blast, but police are investigating, and we are told that several other people have also been injured. Now, there's a lot of footage online that we're working to kind of look through and verify, but what you can see there is that on this sort of snowy path, you've got huge number of emergency services there, fire kind of blazing through what you'd expect this bar during these New Year's celebrations. Now, this is described as being quite an upmarket ski resort, Crans Montana it's called. It's actually hosting the Ski World Cup at the end of this month. It is popular with British tourists, and local media is reporting that more than 100 people were inside the venue as part of those celebrations overnight. So a lot of details still coming out. It was around 1:30 a.m. local time, so about 7 hours ago that this happened. And now kind of reports coming through that hospitals are overwhelmed with patients who are going in. Now, quite interestingly, the Cantonal Police, Valais Cantonal Police, just yesterday had put out a message about being safe during the New Year's celebrations. And as part of that, they had urged caution around the use of fireworks. They have said never use pyrotechnics near people or buildings. Now, a reminder, we don't have an exact cause of this fire, but those suggestions that there may have been fireworks used inside that concert, which may have led to several people losing their lives.
My goodness. Thank you, Fraser. Any more updates, Fraser Knight will bring them to you here first on LBC. Thank you, Fraser Knight, reporting. Khaled's in Leicester on the Prime Minister's message. Khaled, your thoughts?
Well, I think I speak for, I think I'd say the vast majority of people, like I think the general public out there have lost trust in the politicians. What they say and what they do seem to be miles apart.
I mean, were you impressed by any of them? I mean, I played you four of them, for example. Were you impressed by any of the party leaders?
I find there's only one sincere, genuine, transparent politician. And that is my own MP, my own ward, Ashokat Adam. He's genuine. I know him as a good friend as
he's
well.
He's an independent MP, just remind
people.
Independent,
yes, right. And when I say independent, in the sense that he has genuine humanity at heart. I know him from a very young age. Okay. He's a phenomenal person. That's what I'm saying, that we need people who are sincere, genuinely care for the public out there, regardless of race, religion, background. They have a sincere want and a desire to help each and every person, wherever they are.
What can Keir Starmer do to turn it around, Khaled, if anything?
First of all, there's many things. First of all, they got to scrutinise the cost of living. First, many people are, you know, are finding it difficult. They got to scrutinise each cost that the government makes. There's many things out there. I know there's a lot of things that I won't. I mean, there's a lot. I could spend a whole hour talking about where the costs are going, which is absolute total waste of money. First of all, secondly, the NHS is a shambles at the moment that needs a revamp. And at the same time, our international policies, they are absolutely appalling. We know about the Iraq war. We know what's been happening in Gaza, the complicity of the UK government, what's been happening there. It's absolutely appalling. So the trust is lost. You know, on the sense that if our UK government is complicit in the massacre of thousands of innocent people.
We talk about that a lot, Khaled, and I was keen for the view on the sort of general message, but we've heard it loud and clear, so thank you. Khaled there in Leicester. More calls in a moment. 0345 606 0973 is the number to call. Lenny, coming to you in a moment. First of all, I was going through the front pages. The Eye paper, health and travel alerts issued as big freeze begins. This is on the front page of their paper, as I say. 7-day cold weather alerts issued in every region of England, and warning of rise in deaths for vulnerable and elderly people as temperatures plunge across the UK. Jim Dale is senior meteorologist at British British weather services. Of course, very serious, Jim, but if we get down to firstly the weather and where it will be coldest and potentially see snow, what can you tell us?
Good morning, Henry. Look, at the moment, it started, the snow, that is, and at the moment it is confined to the high ground of Scotland, so that's the Grampians and the Highlands. Everywhere else has not seen snow at this moment in time. What's happening, it is not too much frost around either this morning, but all of this will sort of eke its way out over the course of the next 24 to 48 hours and onwards from there. So really it's all to come. Now, the snow situation will invigorate across much of Scotland, particularly the high ground. And then in the overnight and through tomorrow, tomorrow morning, there's going to be another little band of light snow that's likely to affect parts of England. And I'm saying parts because really it's anybody's guess where these showery bits are going to turn up. So look, at the moment it does stretch from London upwards towards Liverpool, and that's probably where you can say anything between the two you're likely to wake up with a centimetre or two tomorrow. And then from that point onwards, it really is the cold more than anything, more than the snow necessarily, that's going to be the main
feature. How bad is it getting
to come? Look, it's winter. You might expect this from time to time. Not as bad as late January last time around, I don't think. But this one is set to last. There'll be little imprints of mild air trying to get in from time to time. But look, I think we've got 7, 8, maybe 10 days of the cold to come. So the warnings are much in need and should be heeded.
And the advice, Jim, as always, we like to remind people, the UK Health Security Agency says to check in with vulnerable friends and family. And of course, sounds obvious, but do wrap up warm where you can.
Yeah, absolutely. And particularly in that wind that's around it for the next couple of days, with significant wind chills. So yeah, when we get these kinds of weather where it does turn, then it's always worth checking on those that are vulnerable.
Thank you, Jim. Jim Dale, Happy New Year, is Senior Meteorologist at British Weather Services. Regularly helps us with weather matters. We will get your calls, more calls, on to Keir Starmer in a moment. What you heard from the Prime Minister in his New Year's message, 0345 6060973, the number to call. Also, in business, Game of Thrones, that huge HBO series, well, the studio tour that cost £55 million has now recorded a loss. We'll bring you more details on that in a moment. 7:31 the time, the news with Lottie Morley.
The Prime Minister says he wants to use this year to defeat decline and division. Sir Keir Starmer used his New Year message to say he knows life is still harder than it should be for many people. Tory leader Kemi Badenoch used hers to attack Labour's recent tax rises, but said she's not giving up on our country. We're hearing reports that several people have been killed in an explosion at a ski resort in Switzerland. It happened just after 1 a.m. local time as people were celebrating the new year at the Swiss ski resort Crans-Montana. And around 100,000 people lined the banks of the River Thames to welcome in the new year with music and a fireworks display. People in Edinburgh welcomed 2026 as part of Hogmanay celebrations as well. LBC weather, a very cold and frosty start to the year with some snow and ice in the north, a high of 9 degrees.
I'm James O'Brien. Thank you for listening to me on LBC throughout the year.
The independent sentencing review is good enough for everybody else, but what do you use instead?
Personal experience, lived experience. Listen, if they're the facts, they're the facts. But from my lived experience...
They're the facts, but I know better.
They don't understand culture of the UK.
So what is it?
No, when have I criticised...
What is? Why can't you tell me what it is? You're criticising people who don't know what the culture of the UK is, so you must be able to tell me.
I can't be asked, buddy. Have a good day.
That went well, didn't it, buddy? I'll be back next week, taking your calls on LBC.
I love visiting Mum and Dad, but as they've gotten older, I've worried about leaving them on their own, especially in winter. We visit as often as we can, but they needed more regular help. That's why we're so grateful to Ellie, their home instead care professional, who lives with them and is always there when she's needed. It means Mum and Dad can stay in the home they love, and it gives us peace of mind to know they're okay when we're not there. For award-winning home care you can trust, visit homeinstead.co.uk.
Now it's time to thank our partner for this episode, eBay.
Guys, as you know, I've just moved house and I realised we made one big mistake in the moving process.
Uh-oh.
We didn't do the clear out before packing up.
Oh, it's a schoolboy error that, Chris.
I know. But it's okay because I'm thinking now's the perfect time to have a little bit of a declutter because we're going into the new year. No better time to get through and find those hidden gems and give them a new home.
Yeah, too right.
Yeah, absolutely spot on, mate. I also moved on the same day as you, which is weird. And I sold so much stuff on eBay. It's made settling into the new place so much smoother. It's free and easy to sell on the eBay app, from fashion and tech to furniture and collectibles. Just snap, list, and you're done.
Look, guys, you don't have to convince me. You know I love a bit of eBay. And when I get home, I'm going to actually sort out my wardrobe and get some new bits listed on eBay.
I keep saying I'm going to sort my wardrobes out as well. I need to do that. When it's this easy to sell for free, you can't help but say when it's eBay.
Download the eBay app and start selling for free today. Excludes vehicles and business sellers.
Brighten your January with the Big Hendy Sale. Get up to £1,000 off selected used vehicles across every dealership and brand in the fantastic Hendy range. From sporty to spacious, from petrol to hybrid and all-electric powertrains, we've got a vehicle to match every style and budget. Don't miss out. These offers won't last forever. Head down to your nearest Hendy dealership today and drive into the new year with incredible value and a car you'll love. Offer on used vehicles only. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC. Message Henry Riley on WhatsApp now. 0345 60 60 973.
25 to 8 is the time, 7:35, if you're looking at the clock the other way. Good morning, it is Henry Riley with you here on LBC. Happy New Year, and we're talking about the New Year's messages from the politicians. Why they do it, I have no idea. No one wants to see it, no one really wants to watch it, as even our Labour special advisor said at the start. They just do it because they have to. But nonetheless, it's given us something to talk about on New Year's Day. And Keir Starmer saying that he is the man to stay the course with efforts to improve public services and the cost of living. Lenny, you'll be the next caller on that. 0345 60 60 973. Is Sir Keir Starmer the man to turn it around? We'll get your views on that, as I say, in just a moment. First, though, let's check in with the business news. Justin Urquhart-Stewart is co-founder of the Regionally Investment Platform and joins me now. Justin, good morning and happy new year. Why is it...
Good morning.
Thank you. Why is it good news for the London Stock Exchange?
Oh, well, it's made money for everybody. So that's pretty good news. Whereas last year it wasn't pretty unimpressive stuff. Actually, you saw London actually sort of lagging behind. Everyone was getting very excited about the Americans and all the technology stocks. Well, be careful in the stock market. You tend to find this year's fashion fad is next year's tank top. So what you had was actually all the American ones did so well last year, not so good this year. And actually it was London catching up. So over 20%, that's not bad. We saw that and the emerging markets as well. So considering actually what people thought was happening in the world with the odd war happening around the place, concerns over actually where the growth is going to be coming from and a strange individual running in the American White House, actually we saw some actually was a greater level of confidence coming through.
So
for investors, not bad.
Well, and for sort of Mrs. Jones in Clapham, as my colleague Nick Ferrari likes saying, is it good news? Is it going to filter down to her?
Oh, it does, because actually what happens is she will probably have some form of pension scheme or an ISA or something like that. There's a very good chance that should be invested broadly in a range of stocks and shares, and hopefully more of them, unfortunately far too little at the moment, invested in the UK market. If we can get more of that, more of our pension funds, then that'll actually help our investment markets, actually help some of the politicians get the economy moving again, which at the moment appears to be heading for a fantastic set of rocks. But that's another issue. So what you're seeing, therefore, is yes, it does make an impact. The problem is, Mrs. Jones in Clapham probably won't understand what's going on because we don't teach people finance in this country. No. You're supposed to understand it by making mistakes, which is not a very clever way of doing it.
And speaking of the general economy picture, in about 10 minutes I'm going to be playing my interview with James Daunce, the CEO of Waterstones and Barnes & Noble in the United States. Can I take you to Belfast and Game of Thrones, this hugely successful HBO series? The studio tour has been a bit of a disaster.
Well, it's been great for the past few years, but after a while, it tends to tire. What you had in the Belfast was you had the Titanic development there, the Titanic area and the hotel, things like that. That was a great success. And then everyone coming to see where apparently this was filmed, and apparently some people actually think it was actually true as well. After a while, it wears a bit. And of course, you know, they've been around now for over a decade. So, you know, you've got to find something else to do. So you're going to have a game of another set of thrones. Well, you can go back and see the same thing all over again. maybe just a slightly different story. No, people get bored of it. Next one.
The other trend, that something that I am partial to, is these ginger shots, which I don't know if it's a sort of placebo effect. I'm sure there are parts that are very good for you, but I like having these ginger shots in the morning. Good morning to your cat as well.
No,
don't be silly. We love seeing cats at this time of the morning. The rise of the ginger shots, tell us more.
Well, you actually, it's always been a fashion fad having some form of shot in the morning to be able to get people going. And the ginger shot certainly has been one which is actually seen as being, ginger being really very healthy for you, apparently. And if you have a quick shot of that, then that'll actually get you going to actually get your energy going in the morning. Frankly, I can't stand the stuff. It actually sent me straight back to bed again, feeling rather ill. So, everyone's got to have their shot of something, I suppose. Frankly, I think I'd rather stick to very, very strong coffee.
Thank you very much. What's the name of your cat, by the way?
This is Betty, who will now probably scratch my back and I'll now have blood on my shirt.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year to Justin Urquhart-Stewart and Betty. Was it Betty? Co-founder of the Regionally Investment Platform, donning his red braces, as always, as well. Justin with the business news there. Lenny's in Ashford. Hi, Lenny.
All the best to you for the new year.
Oh, and the same to you, sir.
Right. Now, the trouble with Starmer, his vision for the country, he's in the minority.
Okay, tell us
so
more.
So he's on a loser from the start. And
well,
he did
get elected, to be fair, Lenny.
Well, it was an election with default. Now, you can't argue. He had the less votes
The problem is, Lenny, I'm not sticking up for Keir Starmer for the sake of it, but people say this at every election. They said it when Boris Johnson won a huge majority. Oh, it's only because people were sick of Brexit. They wanted to get it done. They said it after David Cameron won. They said, oh, it's only because people are sick of Labour. They've been in all this time. There's always a reason.
Well, I'll be quite honest. If, very simple, let's have another one. Let's have another one. Allow the council elections to go through as our democracy demands. And if he can't do that, that says it all.
Well, there are quite a lot of elections. I don't know if you haven't got him in Ashford, have you? Because you had your local elections last year.
That's right, yes.
How do you think it's going over there with reform?
Well, I haven't been taking a lot of attention with reform.
Nice.
With my local elections, I've been more worried about the country as a whole.
Okay.
And regarding what I wanted to say is that regarding Starmer's speech,
yes,
it's what he didn't say, which is more important than what he did say.
Well, what didn't
he
say then?
He did not mention the ID cards that the country does not want, because we're looking at that. That is opening the door to communism and total control.
Okay, I don't know if that's quite right.
He didn't say anything about immigration.
Agree to disagree, yes.
We're nothing positive.
Well, it was his sort of New Year's message. I mean, you don't really want him talking about immigration ID cards, do you? Or you do?
Yes, we want to know the future of our country.
Thank you, Lenny, as always. Lenny there in Ashford in Kent. More calls in a moment. 0345 6060973. Speaking of messages at this time of year, the church should be a healing presence in the nation. So says the Archbishop of Canterbury elect. Support for people in their communities could help deal with the root causes of many hospital admissions, the Archbishop of Canterbury elect has said. She highlighted the increasing pressure on the nation's hospitals. Now, this is the incoming top bishop of the Church of England, Dame Sarah Mullally, former NHS nurse. I think she was a chief NHS nurse as well, has used her first New Year's message to point out how pressure on stretched services could be eased as people access holistic support in different settings. Reverend Dr. Ian Paul is a writer, theologian and member of the General Synod. Thank you very much for your time, Dr. Paul. Much appreciated. Your thoughts on what we've had, we haven't heard it yet, have we? But your thoughts heard trailed by the new Archbishop of Canterbury elect.
Well, it's very hard to object to it, isn't it? The church should be doing good things and serving people and healing. I hope it's not a bid to be popular. There's a real danger when the church tries to please everybody. I mean, nobody hates the NHS, do we? We love the NHS and identify the church with the NHS. Who can object to that? I think the difficulty is that the message that the Christian churches have actually is going to offend some people. After all, at Christmas, we didn't just sort of say, oh, there's a nice baby here born in a stable, which he wasn't, by the way. But that actually the claim is that the person we celebrate at Christmas was actually the God of the universe come to meet us and to call us to change direction in our lives. So, you know, that's a bit of a challenge there too. So the churches, the Christian churches have a challenging message to bring to people. And yes, we need to bring healing, but I'm married to a GP. And one of the things I'm aware about healing is that doctors have to give people bad news and say, you know what, if you're going to be healed, you have to face the reality of the problem. Mm. And I think that's the message that the churches bring. So I hope people won't hear this as saying, oh, it's all motherhood and apple pie and we just want to be nice to people.
If we talk about the role itself, I mean, it's been a long time coming. Justin Welby stepped down as Archbishop of Canterbury officially a year ago, and his resignation was back in November 2024. Your view on the pressure that the new Archbishop of Canterbury-elect faces and the sort of key issues in her in-tray?
Yeah. There's a number of them, some that people are aware of. I mean, it's often trailed that the numbers in the Church of England are declining, number of people attending. I think that's a major challenge. And yes, of course, we want to carry the healing ministry of Jesus. Jesus came to heal people, but he also came to call people to a new life. And in fact, I was for 10 years a member of the Archbishop's Council, and our number one goal was to say, we want to see people come to discover a new life in Jesus for themselves, to become Christians. And that needs to be our number one goal. And that we need to call people to that. I think the other challenge is about speaking truth to power. It's a bit of a well-worn phrase. But I think in our divided world, you don't bring healing simply by saying, let's all just sit down and be nice to each other, because there are some true things in our society and there are some false things in our society. And one of the things we need to be doing is to say, actually, do you know what? That is wrong, and challenging it and saying this is true and making some clear claims.
Does the shadow of Justin Welby still loom over the role in your view, Dr. Paul? And I don't know if you know Dame Sarah, but I wonder if you think she will be different in her approach to sort of commenting on big national and international stories.
Yes, I think she will be very different. I mean, I do know her a little bit. We've corresponded, and she's in the last few years, been very kind enough to reply to my emails when I write to her. So that's always a really good sign. one of the things that I think we've suffered from in the 10 years of Justin Welby as Archbishop is that Justin did seem to want to jump onto every controversial bandwagon, whether that be the claim of institutional racism or reparations or the debates around sexuality. And one of the things that I've said, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it to Sarah, is to say, you know, we could do without yet another controversial and divisive issue. Let's bring healing to the nation by bringing healing within the Church of England itself and saying, do you know what? We're not going to spend the time debating internal controversial issues. We're going to look outwards and we're going to actually share together and say to people, we've got amazing good news in the person of Jesus. He calls us to live a new life. He calls us to follow a different way of life by knowing him, by turning away from what is wrong and by turning to what is right. And actually, when churches are doing that, they're finding that they're growing, and they're particularly drawing young people. A lot of young people are looking around at our culture, our society, and the things that are said, and they're saying, do you know what? We want something different. And I know many churches, for example, in London, that are growing like Topsy. I mean, one church that I know of, they just don't have room in their building. They're having to borrow other buildings because there are so many young people who want to find out the difference that Jesus makes in their life, and that's wonderful. And that's really what we need to be focusing on.
Thank you. Reverend Dr. Ian Paul is a writer, theologian and member of the General Synod. That message from the Archbishop of Canterbury elect coming, I think it's early afternoon, around 1:30 is the time that we have been given. So I'm sure my colleagues will tell you what has been said. Sheila Fogarty. More calls on Keir Starmer in a moment. Plus, we'll also be interviewing, or you'll hear my interview, with James Daunt, the Managing Director of Waterstones. First, though, 7:47 the time, the news with Lottie Morley.
It's being reported more than 10 people have been killed in a fire at a Swiss ski resort. The Prime Minister says he wants to use this year to defeat decline and division. And around 100,000 people lined the banks of the River Thames to welcome in the new year. LBC weather, a very cold and frosty start to the year with some snow and ice in the north, highs of 9 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne. We're very busy on the M11 northbound, heading up towards the M25 junction. And that was after an accident that happened earlier, but all the lanes are now back open. In Palmer's Green, Hedge Lane remains closed both ways. That's after an accident. In Morden, Central Road remains closed both ways, also after an accident. In central London, lots of roads are closed between Green Park Station and Parliament Square for the New Year's Day parade. So that includes roads around Piccadilly Circus and also Trafalgar Square. They will be closed for most of today, so definitely do expect delays. And on the trains, no Greater Anglia, Weaver Line and Stansted Express services again to and from Liverpool Street.
This is LBC.
At Tesco Mobile, prices are frozen, but our deals will keep you feeling nice and cosy. Get our unlimited data sim for just £24 a month with club card prices, saving you £72. Plus, you'll get a £40 Tesco gift card too. And that price is frozen for the duration of your contract, thanks to club card prices. It pays to be connected. Search Tesco Mobile. Every little helps. Ends 1st of February. Club card and 12-month credit agreement required. Savings calculated on contract duration. Terms at tescomobile.com/terms.
LBC.
EasyJet's Big Orange Sale is now on. New year, new plans, new deals. With up to £400 off package holidays and up to 20% off flights. EasyJet, get out there. Selected dates and flights. Flight sale ends 3rd of Feb. Holiday sale ends 3rd of March. Min spend and ATL protected. T's and C's apply.
The people of Britain love their spin bikes. They also love moving their card balances to a Barclaycard Platinum Balance Transfer Card with no interest for 36 months and £20 cash back until the 29th of January 2026. A balance transfer fee of 3.45% applies, subject to financial status. T's and C's and exclusions apply. Check if you're eligible at barclaycard.co.uk. Representative example, 24.9% APR representative variable and 24.9% purchase rate per annum based on a £1,200 credit limit.
Okay, time for a proper breather. This new year, get 15% off when you book two consecutive nights or more at Premier Inn. Visit the family, then escape them. Back to a luxury bed instead of your auntie's sofa. Or head off on a city break that feels like a real break with checkouts at midday. Start the new year with Premier Inn. Get better sleep for your money. Book by 12th of Jan for stays between 29th of Jan and 30th of April. Standard rate rooms, UK only. Exclude Central London. Terms apply. See premierinn.com.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped for the future you want. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Imad, a GCSE student in Year 11.
Alongside my core GCSEs, such as Maths, English and Science, I study creative subjects such as Media, Drama, Art and Design, Business and Music Technology, which are all recognised by the industry.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in Years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
Henry Reilly on LBC. Text 84850.
Harry in North London says Lenny's calling for another election as he clearly didn't like the result of the last one. I'd ask Lenny if he'd be equally happy for another Brexit referendum as A, Brexit has been an economic disaster and B, it's been 10 years since the last one. I suspect the answer would be no. We're not even 8 hours into 2026. We've already mentioned Brexit, but thank you, Ari. Much appreciated. More views in a moment. 0345 6060 973. First, as I mentioned a little bit earlier on, speaking of the economy and business, I spoke with James Dawns, the CEO of the American bookshop chain Barnes and Noble. He's also managing director of Waterstones in the UK and founder of Daunt Books. And I started by asking him, what were some of the big successes from Waterstones last year?
Well, we started off extraordinarily with Rebecca Yarros and this sort of ongoing momentum of fantasy and speculative fiction and all the great things attached to that. But that's just a little icing on the cake. I mean, actually, sort of fundamentally, people, everybody of all ages are reading lots of books. And that sort of momentum, which we've had since really the end of COVID, has just kept on going. So lots and lots of good publishing. And that's carried on right now till Christmas, when we've got, you know, huge sellers just one after another. So enjoying ourselves.
We often hear about how we're addicted to sort of doom scrolling. We're addicted to being on our smartphones and particularly kids' social media. I certainly have noticed more and more people picking up a book. I'd notice it on the tube, for example, whereas before we'd all sort of be staring down at our phones, not talking to anyone or being sort of gormless. Now I do notice people chuckling away to themselves, reading various books.
Yeah, we've been selling more books, I mean, really at Waterstones for the last 10 years. I mean, COVID aside, you know, each year has been better than the year before, and that continues to be the case. I mean, I'm so old, I remember when I was told that I was never going to read and that I had square eyes because I was watching Blue Peter. You know, this has been the lament for forever and a day. But the truth is that people are reading more. And I think what's happening now, which is sort of completely thrilling, is that it's being driven amongst young people in particular. Our kids' book sales, young adult sales, you know, that sort of youngish age group have been spectacular. And they, of course, are the customers of the future.
And we want people to keep reading. And, of course, next year, what are the things, the sort of genres, the individual books that people have got to look forward to at the, at Daunt Books, of course, but also at Waterstones?
Well, the hardbacks that we can see and are selling lots of now will become paperbacks and will sell even more. So Lucy Steeds, the artist, has been our big, big success. Arundhati Roy, Mother Mary. Anyone who wants something fabulous should go out and buy that book. Lots and lots of others. If I could predict the trends in publishing and what was going to be the new super bestseller, I would become a publisher. Well, but I'm not. I'm a bookseller. I react to what's coming. All I know is that there will be things.
You said you referred to yourself saying, I'm very old. Now, I read that you've been in books for over 35 years, which can't be true looking at you. This must be someone has made this up. But I must ask you, with all of those years that you've had within book sales, Waterstones in particular, I know you've been at the helm there since 2011, has really sort of bucked the trend when it comes to the high street. You had more growth last year, more shops opening. I imagine you sort of see the same for the coming years. What is it that Waterstones gets right, or you may be too humble to say, but what are some of the key ingredients with regards to having a high street success story?
I think because we've got really good teams running our shops, and the one sort of thing that we did do is leave it to the individual shop teams to run their own bookshops and do so in the way that they think is best for their particular locality. And we as a company kept our bookshops open, kept our shops open in high streets where a lot of people closed theirs. I mean, the Next and M&S and all of those people closed their inner city shops and town shops and moved out into the shopping centres. And we kept ours there, and they continue to do really well. As well as, in fact, opening in the out-of-town places. So we've benefited from that sort of remaining sort of embedded within the heart of our communities. But the work is done by our book-selling teams, each and every shop in their own way.
And that's why you often see the different displays at each Waterstones, as you say, because the team do it. The sort of broad picture of the high streets, if you take your Waterstones hat off and put your sort of more general business owner, business runner who has a high street shop, the high street is often spoken about as sort of perennially struggling. Does 2026 look positive, or is it yet more doom and gloom, do you think, for the traditional British high street?
I think it's coming back, and I think at last the government is doing things to support the high street. We went through this long period in which, you know, particularly the iniquity of the way in which the high street was taxed through business rates. Online isn't taxed in the same way. It put a huge burden on high streets, and then lots and lots and lots of shops closed in consequence of that. And I think, you know, the previous government should have done something and didn't. This one, helpfully at last, has begun to make some changes. And that will tilt the economics better in favour of real, true high street bookshops. And I think hopefully, or shops full stop, not just bookshops. So hopefully we will see some regeneration and improvement. Certainly that's what we're beginning to see ourselves.
But you'll know yourself, James, there are a lot of business owners who, I mean, you sound very positive about the budget, the Rachel Reeves, the economic measures of this government. There'll be others who say that, for instance, the increase in the minimum wage and the national insurance contributions for employers, that it's put a real strain on various businesses. Do you accept that there is more that the government can do, and what should that look like?
Of course there's more that governments can do, and I do think that trying to equalize or level the playing field for all of us online and high street is important. For ourselves, we found, you know, the changes that have been made have been, you know, broadly positive, you know, albeit we are in a world in which taxation overall has been going up. But at least as far as it's landing at the moment, it seems to be sort of equitable, and working quite nicely for us.
There's a vicious rumour about you that you do not finish books, that you've started a few books and that you don't end up finishing them, Mr. Daunt. I have to put this charge to you that I read online. Is that, can you confirm these rumours?
I mean, that unfortunately, if you read professionally, which I do, if books aren't quite working for me, I move on to the next one. And of course, you know, with the great joy of the job that I do is that I can be sitting with a pile of books, reading them and tell everybody to go away because I'm working.
Are you quite good at switching between books, though? You're not a sort of, I appreciate it, it's very difficult in your job to read one book at one time, but are you good at sort of dipping in and out of books, leaving it for a few weeks?
I keep a non-fiction going, which I do tend to just, that takes me a while, and that's sort of trying to educate myself, and then I read fiction in a steady way. If I like the book, then I always finish it. If it's not quite there, I don't. And, you know, when you read something great, it is absolutely thrilling, and I never give up on those. Patricia Finn, Golden Boy, coming in March, April, first novel, absolutely stunning, just finished that.
How big is your reading list for Christmas?
Well, if I was to flip the camera, we're on radio, so yes. That wouldn't help anybody listening, but there is a great huge pile of books, and I will typically take, you know, I've got 10-ish books sitting beside my bedside.
Surely you don't ask for books for Christmas. Being the chief executive of managing director of Waterstones and running Daunt Books, I mean, do you ask for books for Christmas?
Absolutely. I mean, I think one of the great joys is being given a book by somebody. And if we're all buying them ourselves, you know, of course that's fun as well. But having somebody think through, and also if they've read something and they got a recommendation, it imparts something extra to it. And I think that's what we try and do within our shops, but it's even better if it comes from a friend or a loved one.
In 2026, do you think we will see AI books on Waterstones bookshelves?
I would be very surprised. I mean, I think they will exist. There will be a few of them, but I see absolutely no appetite amongst customers to actually read them. But, you know, these billions and trillions and squillions of dollars and pounds may eventually produce something helpful to us in the world of books, but I haven't seen anything so far.
Thank you for your time. James Daunt is CEO of the American bookshop chain Barnes & Noble, also managing director of Waterstones here in the UK, and founder of Daunt Books. In a moment, 5 million children have not seen a dentist in the last year. What is dentistry like in your area? You're listening to Henry Reilly on LBC. It is 8 o'clock.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, we're hearing reports at least 10 people have been killed in a fire at a bar in the Swiss Alps. An unknown number were also injured while they were celebrating the New Year at Crans-Montana in Switzerland. LBC's Fraser Knight has the details.
We've had the first sort of official statement from police in Switzerland, which has confirmed that a fire of unknown cause broke out in this bar in Crans-Montana, the Swiss ski resort in the region of Valais. We are told that several people have died. It is reported that at least 10 have been killed in this fire during New Year's celebrations. It happened just around 1:30 a.m. local time. And police are saying that a major emergency response is now underway.
Sir Keir Starmer has said he knows life is still harder than it should be for many across the country. The Prime Minister used his New Year message to say he wants to defeat decline and division in 2026. Labour commentator Paul Richards has told Henry he was impressed by Sir Keir's speech.
The tone is just right, and it's all about tone. Nobody really remembers the words, but how they feel is important. And if he just rocked up and said, oh, everything's marvellous, it's all going terribly well, you know, carry on, it would have been exactly the wrong tone. So for him to come in and say, you know, things are pretty rough, I think is the right thing. But he then introduced an element of hope, which is what this whole government strategy is based on. Tough decisions now with payoff down the line.
People around the world have been celebrating the new year with 100,000 on the banks of the River Thames. London's Mayor Sir Sadiq Khan says the celebrations in the capital are the greatest in the world. Anthony Joshua has been discharged from hospital after he was involved in a car crash in Nigeria. The former world heavyweight boxing champion is said to have made a miracle recovery as two of his close friends died in the accident. People here have been laying flowers outside the gym he owns in North London. And energy prices are rising for many households, just as cold weather alerts are being issued. The price cap is increasing, adding around 28 pence to the average monthly bill in England, Wales and Scotland. LBC weather, a very cold and frosty start to the year with some snow and ice for northern parts, staying dry and sunny elsewhere with a high of 9 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Lottie Morley.
Hey Sainsbury's, have you got anything to help my money go further?
Well, if you want to make some big savings, make sure to use Nectar Prices and your Nectar Prices at Sainsbury's. Together they can save you over £450 a year on your food shop.
Bring it on.
Download the Nectar app and tap into great savings. Sainsbury's, good food for all of us. 18 plus Nectar app required. For full terms, see help.sainsburys.co.uk/help/nectar prices.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Henry Reilly.
Good morning, 4 minutes past eight is the time. Happy New Year, you're listening to Henry Reilly in for Nick Ferrari, although it's a bank holiday, isn't it? In for Matthew Wright here on LBC. Lovely to have your company with you here till 10 o'clock. Coming up...
There is hope. If you clean up these rivers, if you let them return to levels of health that they should be, then the salmon will return.
Did you know young Atlantic salmon have been seen in three rivers in northwest England for the first time in 10 years? How has that happened? We'll tell you more. Also,
doctors and consultants from all over the world, especially from here in the UK, are going in really helping with those complex injuries.
Israel has announced it will stop dozens of aid organisations working in Gaza within the next day or so for failing to meet new requirements to hand over personal details of their Palestinian and international staff. We'll be speaking with Oxfam about that. And...
I am a fave. I just get nervous.
Alan Carr from Celebrity Traitors. The Normal series starts up again today, but can they really go back to that after the success of the Celebrity Traitors?
Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. This is LBC.
Good morning to you. Talking this hour about dentistry, because I want to know what the experience is like in your area. We've heard an awful lot about this the last few years. I think since COVID, actually, because obviously and understandably, a lot of appointments were moved, changed during COVID. And it's one of those areas, much like other parts of public life, that we don't really seem to have been able to recover. And I know it's been a sort of downward trend for a while, and people think it's an absolute nightmare to see a dentist for themselves. There was a report from Policy Exchange I remember reading a few weeks back, calling for people to, in some cases, dentists, to be rewarded when they do see NHS clients, to be given a sort of slight reward themselves, and also for individuals, i.e. you and me, to get dental vouchers every year, because that will actually persuade people to go, and in the long run, the think tank argued, sort of save money. Because the amount we're spending on rotting teeth in NHS and in dentistry, for example, that it would actually be a cost saving. And I know the government does talk about dentistry. They recognise it's an issue. I remember Stephen Kinnock doing the interviews with Nick Ferrari and a few other people a few weeks back. And today there is analysis from the Liberal Democrats, which has found that 5 million children have not seen a dentist in the last year, as figures reveal the worst dental deserts. Now, the Lib Dems are warning that NHS dentistry is facing a national crisis as new analysis of official figures reveals that millions of adults and children across England are struggling to access basic dental care. 4 in 10 children have not seen a dentist or had not seen a dentist in the year up to June. Is that just the case when it comes to, and I don't have children, but is it just the case if you have children that it's particularly difficult if you're with an NHS dentist? I really want to hear from you as to whether you live in one of these dental deserts areas. And is it something you recognise? Because I am, I think, quite fortunate in where I am. My dentist is in Cheam Way, sort of near Sutton. And actually, touch wood, it does seem to be relatively straightforward to get an appointment. I haven't had any emergency since sort of 12 years ago when I chipped my front tooth. And so it's relatively easy to get the hygienist appointment and the dentist appointment, but I know that is certainly not the case across the country. So is it something you have battled with in order to see an NHS dentist? 0345 60 60 973 is the number to call. 7 minutes past eight is the time. Bobby Dean is the Liberal Democrat MP for Carshalton and Wallington, not a million miles away from my dentist, actually, and the party shadow leader of the House of Commons, and joins me now. Good morning to you, Bobby. The figures that you have unearthed at the Liberal Democrats, are you surprised by that? Good morning and Happy New Year.
Good morning, Happy New Year to you as well. I think the figures are quite shocking when you see the scale of the crisis. That's almost 5 million children not seeing a dentist in the last year. And when you dip beneath the figures and you look at some of the regionalisation of it, in Somerset, that figure is 56% of children in the last 2 years. So this is what we're talking about when we're saying dental deserts. I noted what you said in the introduction there about your experience in Cheam. My experience in Carshalton is similar, but the problem is starting to reach London as well. I've learned that my wife, she can't move to my local dentist. We've got a baby on the way, and he was warning about problems and perhaps registering the baby of an NHS dentist as well. So these problems are starting to reach out right across the country.
Well, I didn't know that. Congratulations, firstly. If we talk about the situation with regards to the dental deserts, can you talk through some of those areas that are particularly badly affected?
Well, predominantly, it seems to be the most rural and coastal areas. Of course, one of the things that you've got if you're in a London borough or more developed urban area like a city is you've got lots of options of places you can go to. Also, the NHS professionals themselves tend to want to live in those places. But when you go out to the more remote areas, it's difficult.
What is the solution? Because you talk about the issues, and that is understandable, and it's good that you've highlighted such a serious issue. What is the solution in the eyes of Ed Davey, your party?
Well, you don't have to listen to us, you have to listen to the dentistry industry themselves, and they're saying that the central issue is the broken NHS contract and the impact that's having on the workforce. We've got a big problem with people leaving the workforce too soon or moving into the private sector. We need to be able to retain those dentists and bring some of them back, as well as training people at the other end. And the government have announced some reforms recently in the past few weeks, and I'll just point you to what the NHS Confederation said about them. They said managing scarcity more efficiently is not the same as restoring access. And they're worried that this hasn't brought any new investment and doesn't tackle the core problem of the workforce issues.
Is it something you imagine, lastly, will get better, or is it going to be the change of government?
Well, it's only going to get better if they grip the contractor issues. That means they need to put in new investment in. And at the moment, it feels like this government is usually tinkering around the edges rather than taking on the big challenges that the last Conservative government left them. So I am concerned it's not going to get better in the short term.
Thank you for your time. Happy New Year. Bobby Dean is the Liberal Democrat MP for Carshalton and Wallington, the party's shadow leader of the House of Commons. To Dr. Deepak Orlak, who is a dentist and CEO of the Tooth Fairy app. Just firstly, briefly, what is the Tooth Fairy app?
Hi, morning, Henry. Yeah, Tooth Fairy app. It's actually been born out of a group of us dentists to kind of help relieve some of the pressure the NHS is seeing. So emergencies, second opinions, general advice. We're looking to actually help patients and do a lot of prevention. Prevention is key in regards to all of these access issues.
We've been discussing this for, I mean, only 10 minutes, and already there are floods of messages coming in from people saying NHS dentistry is virtually non-existent. Why is that in your view?
Yeah, it is a sad reality. Look, this hasn't happened overnight. It's a result of long-term system failure. And you talked about COVID. COVID just accelerated it. It didn't cause it. What you're finding is a system where dentists aren't being rewarded to sit with their patients, to educate their patients, to personalize the treatment care. What we're being rewarded to do is volume. It's all about volume, crisis management. We sometimes are feeling a bit like firemen and firefighters, the way that we're dealing with emergencies. It needs to be a system where actually it's the same way we were trained. How do we keep people out of a dentist chair? How do we let them enjoy life and spend less time drilling and filling their teeth? Because as you talked about the children, the first time we're seeing a lot of these children, which is absolutely horrible, is when they're in pain. At that point, prevention's already failed. And when you're in pain, it's already a disease process already established. Prevention at that point has already failed them.
Well, what's the solution then to get people seen and, crucially, people who don't want to and indeed cannot afford to go private? What's the solution to make sure they're actually seen by a dentist more regularly than once every sort of 5 years in some cases?
Yeah, the key thing here is reform. Reform of this really poor contract. And it's not just from the monetary way where dentists are paid. It's actually the way that dentists are allowed to treat their patients. Dentists are leaving because they're finding an alternative way to care for their patients. They're able to reward and see how patients are doing incredibly well throughout the whole journey of their care. what we're really seeing here now is the lack of materials that dentists can use, the overhead price are increasing, the volume of patients is now increasing, and their needs are even more complex than they were even 5-10 years ago. And that contract that was built many years ago, over a decade ago, dentists are still stuck within that. And the only alternative is to say to NHS, sorry, we just cannot perform dentistry within this, handing that contract back and asking their patients to seek if they can find a better way, which unfortunately, as you said, can cost more, especially when treatment becomes more complex and in late stages. We really want to avoid that. We want to spend more time examining, preventing and helping patients stay out of that dental chair.
There was a report by, I mentioned right at the start, Policy Exchange, which very much a think tank on the right, but their idea was that there should be a dental voucher for adults worth £150 million. I know it's expensive, but not that expensive. £150 a year, which could be used with any dental professional, and that people, individuals would get that. Is that something that would be sensible in order to actually get people over the line to go to their local dentist?
It's just, again, framing the problem as though it was one that is monetary and money. It isn't. Money right now and the injection of funds is just keeping the lights on, but it's actually going to be reform that's going to keep the service alive. You can't keep pouring money into a broken system and expecting different results. Dentists are asking the government to build them a system which allows them to treat their patients properly. And vouchers and his extra funding here and there, it's just pots of money being moved around. And what we're seeing is a large amount of patients going to A&E, doing self-treatment at home. We're really worried because this doesn't seem to be getting better, and we keep iterating the same thing to different governments, which is, let's look at the contract, let's look at the system.
We need more dentists, as you know, Deepak. What are your notes from being a dentist? Would you persuade young aspiring dentists to go into the role? Why did you decide to look at people's teeth for a living?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's an incredible role because you're a key member of the community. You see generations of families with you as you grow older. It's incredibly rewarding because people talk about dentistry as one that gives them confidence. As you said, takes them out of pain. Really, really does help their quality of life. It's an incredible, incredible career. We're trained in the NHS. We really do believe in the ethics of the NHS. And a lot of dentists want to stay in the NHS, but certain things need to change for us to make sure that patients get that care they deserve.
Thank you for your time. Dr. Deepak Orlak is dentist and CEO of the Tooth Fairy app. What is the situation in your area when it comes to NHS dentistry? Have you managed to get an appointment in the last few years even? 0345 6060 973. Do you recognise this picture? And then specifically on what the Liberal Democrats are focusing in on. 5 million children haven't seen a dentist for the last year. Have you struggled for your child, your son, your daughter, to get them an appointment? And then more broadly on you, has that also been your experience? 0345 6060 973, the number to call. I often find it's quite confusing whether you're actually going to an NHS dentist or my dentist privately, because they seem to do both. So often I think the lines are slightly blurred, and I've got no idea what's included on the NHS when it comes to dentistry and what's not. Your calls on that in a moment. 84850 is the number to text. 8:15 the time, the news with Lottie Morley.
It's being reported that at least 10 people have been killed in a fire at a bar in the Swiss Alps. Sir Keir Starmer says he knows life is still harder than it should be for many across the country in his New Year message. And people around the world have been celebrating the New Year with 100,000 on the banks of the River Thames. LBC weather, a cold and frosty start to the year with some snow and ice in places, highs of 9 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Lots of road closures in central London for the London Parade, including Piccadilly, which is closed from Green Park. Also, all approaches to Piccadilly Circus are closed, along with Pall Mall, Whitehall and also Parliament Square. Those roads will stay closed until around 8 o'clock this evening. Now, elsewhere in Palmer's Green, Hedge Lane is closed both ways. That's all down to an accident. Also in Southall, South Road is closed both ways because of an ongoing police investigation. Also because of an ongoing police investigation in Eltham, Newmarket Green is closed in both directions. And in Holloway, Tufnell Park Road is closed both ways. It's because of a fire in a building.
LBC.
Thinking about goals this time of year? Like saving money or buying a new car? Well, right now you can save £3,750 on the all-electric Mini Countryman with the electric car grant. Yep, two goals in one and you get more space, more adventure, more Mini than ever. I feel a cheeky little smile coming on. Start living the big life for less and save £3,750 with the electric car grant. Visit mini.co.uk/grant. Grant available for specifications up to £42,000. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC.
Hiya, Kenny the Hamster here, proud pet of Doug and Carol. Hey, up. Looks like my mum Carol's off out with the girls again. I tell you, since she took that quick NHS Healthy Choices quiz, she's drinking less, but going out more. And to think, she thought being healthy would mean being boring. You might want to give it a go yourself. Go, girlfriend!
Take your first little step to healthy. Search NHS Healthy Choices quiz to get a score and a simple plan to follow.
Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure.
Your Happy New Year could start right here in London. Hannah entered the Omaze Million Pound House draw and won a £4 million house.
House, an actual house!
Paul won a house too.
That's insane.
Now you could be next. And if you enter by midnight tonight, you could also win a Porsche 911 and £100,000. Nor recently got the keys to her new car.
Oh, my God.
And this time, it could be you.
And here's the best part. You'll be supporting Alzheimer's Society.
So for your chance to win a luxury house in London worth £5 million and the car with the cash, you must enter by midnight tonight at omaze.co.uk. Over 18s only, no purchase necessary, conditions apply. £1 million charity donation.
Henry Reilly on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
8:19 is the time. Good morning, Henry Reilly here on LBC. Cheryl says, dentistry is non-existent. I've not been able to register with a dentist in 6 years. Never mind try and see one. I'm at my wit's end with it as I've two broken teeth. Going private is so expensive, it'd be cheaper to fly out of the country and get it sorted. Oh my goodness, that does sound like a pain. Sorry to hear that, Cheryl. This from Thomas in Edinburgh says, I paid for private dentistry for myself and my family. I did this in Glasgow as I just didn't believe the NHS would be realistic. Moved 3 years ago into a small town outside Edinburgh, registered with the NHS dentist there and just found the service slapdash in comparison. I do also feel if I can afford to opt out, I should make some way for people who may not be able to. Now in private practice again and the service is far better. I get seen twice a year, get a good hygienist clean each time. I know there is an argument for people like me adding to this problem, but I see it as taking ownership and responsibility for my own family's health. Surely that is better citizenship. And this says, I paid a ludicrous amount for dental treatment. I had no choice. Please do not read out my text message. Well, thank you. I'll keep you anonymous, but if you text in, then I'm going to read it out, I'm afraid. Simon's in Swansea. Hi, Simon.
Hi, Henry. It's my first time calling. A bit nervous.
Oh, well, thank you so much for picking up the phone. Have you... What's your background? What's your story?
Well, I was in the armed forces for 15 years. I came out 18 years ago, and I've not been able to get an NHS appointment or register with a dentist.
Well, for 18 years?
18 years. I've contacted local MPs, because it's all Labour in South Wales, and getting no response, nothing. Absolutely disgusting.
Well, that is the... How long did you serve in the army, could I ask?
15. In the Royal Navy for 15 years.
Sorry, beg your pardon, the Royal Navy. Oh, so you've been out... So you're in the Royal Navy for 15 years, you've been out for 18 years, and you can't get a dentist?
No, I can't.
That seems crazy. What do the politicians say if you write to your local councillor or MP?
Just keep trying.
Right. And that doesn't give you much confidence, does it?
No, not at all. I think, and why did I serve in the first place? Because I do not care about us.
I don't want to...
I've actually lost my smile because of it.
You've lost your smile, did you say?
Yeah. I'm ashamed to smile because of the state of my teeth.
I was going to ask, and you don't have to go into it if you don't want to, but given you haven't seen a dentist in 18 years, what sort of state are your teeth in?
Not good. Well, I've been back and forth the hospital because I've had abscesses. I pulled teeth out myself.
Oh.
And it's not good.
I mean, I don't really know what to say to that. Of course, you shouldn't pull out teeth yourself, but I'm... you know, I've been in that situation where you do think that's the that's sort of the only issue. What do the doctors and hospitals not say? You really need to get a dentist.
Yeah, it's well, get a dentist, and when you try and get a dentist, they go, you know, you can pay to go private. But if you can't afford to pay to go private, you've got to take other measures. And that's why you've got to pull them out yourself.
My goodness. Well, Simon, I'd like to stay in touch with you because I find it astonishing that you've served as in the Royal Navy, as you say, for 18 years, and yet you can't see a dentist. I think that's surely the least that someone who has served in the armed forces deserves. Simon, thanks for being a first-time caller as well. I do appreciate you picking up the phone. And you waited till 2026, but nonetheless, it's good you started the year off. Hope it isn't your only call this year. Rob, with you in a second. 03456060973, the number to call to have your say on the state of dentistry. We're talking about this because the Liberal Democrats have done some research and found that 5 million children have not seen a dentist in the past year, revealing the worst dental deserts, which are in Nottinghamshire and Somerset. What is the experience like? What has it been like for you in your area? And are you in a similar situation to our previous caller, to Simon, where he really just hasn't been able to get a dentist at all on the NHS? 0345 6060973, 8:23 the time. Now, I was reading in the Guardian the other day, the former president of the Supreme Court, Lady Hale, you'll remember her of spider brooch fame as well as many other things, is urging ministers to change the law so that children as young as 10 can no longer be charged as adults. Now, this was a letter in the paper by Professor Roger Evans, who is an emeritus professor of socio-legal studies at Liverpool John Moores University. You'll hear from him in just a second. The amendments emerged after charities said that children's brains were not fully developed by the age of 10, meaning they were unlikely to understand the impact of their actions or engage effectively with legal proceedings. Now, the government have said they will propose this amendment. It also, along with Lady Butler Sloss, who was previously the highest ranking female judge in England and Wales, the Crime and Policing Bill change would raise the age of criminal responsibility to 14. Professor Roger Evans joins me now. Do we know why the governments are opposed to this change, Professor Evans? Good morning.
That's a very, very good question. And the answer to that is no. It dates back to the furore, I think, over the Bulger case, and driven by the media and public outcry. And in one sense, perfectly understandable, because that was a horrific offence, and one has to feel for the parents and everybody involved in that. And the research is very clear, and I would expect a Labour government to pay attention to the mountain of research that demonstrates that the age of criminal responsibility should be raised to at least 14, as it is in the whole of the rest of Europe, and indeed across the world.
Is it wrong to prosecute those under the age of 14, in your view?
Yes.
And why would you say that?
Prior to the Bulger case, there was a law called Dolly Incapax, and that assumed that children under 14 couldn't fully understand the law or the consequences of breaking it. And therefore, the presumption was that they didn't understand it and therefore couldn't be properly convicted of a criminal offence. But it was up to the prosecution to prove that they did understand it and therefore could be convicted. So in other words, it was up to the prosecution to rebut the presumption that they couldn't.
When we talk about prosecuting those under the age of 14, they're not sort of being put behind bars in a lot of cases. The government argue, and I put this this charge to you, Professor Evans, that the when you have the criminal age of responsibility at 10, it effectively allows early intervention and means that they can stop reoffending. What's your response to that argument?
That flies in the face of the mountain of evidence to the contrary. The earlier you include, particularly children, in the criminal justice system, the more likely it is that they continue being included in a greater way. For example, even if they're cautioned, they have a criminal record, which stops them doing certain things. And once they become labelled criminal, the potential is that they start to see themselves in that way, and therefore, you know, well, that's how I am, so I can act like a criminal, you know.
No, and I take that point. What would you, I mean, there will be people listening to this, Professor Evans, who say, well, if you are a 13-year-old, for example, who has, let's use the most extreme example, murdered someone, what should happen to you?
That's a very good question. I don't know whether you've seen the television programme Adolescence.
I have. Very good.
And do you remember that scene where the psychologist interviews the 10-year-old who had murdered the girl?
Yes, one of the best scenes of the whole series, actually.
Yeah. And how I interpreted that was that that child had been subject to all kinds of influences. In this instance, I'm not saying this is necessarily always the case, but in this instance, in social media, had been introduced to ideas from the manosphere and so on. And by the end of that interview, it was absolutely clear that he was in psychological deep trouble.
Mm.
And indeed, at the end of the interview, you could almost hear thinking, this child needs help. He needs somebody to help him return to being a normal, whatever that means, person.
But what does that mean? I mean, I do get the point you're making, but what should happen to them then? They see a psychologist and what? We let them back out?
No, well, if you compare the Bulger case to the case in Norway, which was very similar, and those children, their identity was protected, there wasn't the furore in the press, and what they were given was help in realising what they'd been involved in. Their behaviour was addressed.
But if you're 13, you do know that murder is wrong.
You know that... well, you know that murder is wrong, but the issue is about intent. And if we go back to adolescence, for example, did that child set out intending to murder that girl because he wanted to murder her? Or because he'd been influenced by all kinds of factors that he'd been exposed to.
Thank you very much. An interesting discussion, and I appreciate your time. Happy New Year. That is Professor Roger Evans, who is Emeritus Professor of Social Legal Studies at Liverpool John Moores University. You might have views on that. You might also want to return to our conversation on dentists. Rob in Hamburg, you will be the next caller. First, though,
not nearly enough aid getting in, so there's a huge, huge shortage of aid.
After the news, we will tell you why Israel has decided to ban some of Oxfam from Gaza, along with other humanitarian organisations. 8:30 the time, the news with Lottie Morley.
At least 10 people have been killed and more injured in a fire at a bar in the Swiss Alps. It's reported there was an explosion in the ski resort of Crans-Montana last night. The Prime Minister says he wants to use 2026 to defeat decline and division. Sir Keir Starmer said he knows life is still harder than it should be for many people in his New Year message. And many people will see their energy bills rise from today. Ofgem's price cap will increase by 0.2%, leading to a rise of about 28 pence a month for the average household. LBC weather, a chilly start to the year with some snow and ice in the north, a high of 9 degrees.
I'm Andrew Marr. Thank you for joining me throughout the year on LBC.
You could say to the British people on Budget Day, look, things are really bad, therefore I have to raise income tax. So tomorrow I'm going to resign as Chancellor of the Exchequer, having done the right thing.
And what do you think would happen in financial markets if I did that?
It depends who took over.
President Trump seems to be waking up every morning with a new idea, and be it tariffs or something else. In my personal opinion, I don't think he's thought it through.
What's your verdict so far on how it's going?
Do despair of the risk-free be all things to all men approach of Keir Starmer, which I think is a fool's errand.
I'll be back in the new year leading Britain's conversation.
Big motoring world are big on value. But what does that mean for you? Well, we price check our cars every day, so we can give you the best price. Guaranteed. In fact, 95% of our cars are priced below market value. Big motoring world, we're big on value. See website for nearest store. Visit bigmotoringworld.co.uk or one of our stores for our price promise and terms and conditions.
When you're smiling,
don't let missing teeth stop you smiling. At Banning Dental, our experts could restore your beautiful smile with premium dental implants. See online for our price match promise. Banning Dental Group Clinics. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling. Keep on smiling. And the whole world smiles with you.
BanningDental.co.uk.
EasyJet's Big Orange Sale is now on. Beat the blues and book the beach with up to £400 off package holidays and up to 20% off flights. EasyJet, get out there. Selected dates and flights. Flight sale ends 3rd of Feb. Holiday sale ends 3rd of March. Min spend and ATL protected. T's and C's apply.
At Pets in a Pickle, we know what it's like welcoming a new pet into the family. Whether it's a curious kitten or a wobbly-legged puppy, they're cute. They're chaos, and sometimes they get themselves into a pickle. That's why we offer fuss-free pet insurance policies with unlimited video call access with First Vet. So the only thing you have to worry about is keeping them away from your favourite vase. For pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
Check your retirement savings are on track with PensionBee's easy-to-use app. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
This is LBC. Message Henry Reilly on WhatsApp now. 0345 60 60973.
8:34 the time. Rob, I'm coming to you in just a second. First, though, as we mentioned near the start of the show, there is this developing story with people killed at a New Year's Eve fire at a Swiss ski resort bar. Fraser Knight is LBC's reporter and can give us an update. Morning, Fraser.
Morning, Henry. We've had the first official words from police in Switzerland saying a major emergency response is underway. Many people have been killed. They say it's reported at least 10 people have been killed after an explosion and a fire tore through what was a bar in the ski resort of Kranz, Montana. Now, that's quite an upmarket ski resort. It's in the Swiss Alps, 2 hours south from the capital of Bern, 25 miles north of the Matterhorn. And people, of course, out celebrating the new year. We're told more than 100 people were inside Le Constellation Bar and Lounge when this happened, just after 1:30 a.m. local time. And now police say that they are in the beginning of their investigation, but they've said this is an internationally renowned ski resort with lots of tourists. More than 100 people were in the building and we're seeing many injured and many dead. Now, we've seen kind of videos online and pictures coming through. As you can imagine, it's quite a chaotic scene. And local media had reported that this may have been caused by fireworks inside the building. There was a concert going on in the basement bar. And that is the suggestion that's there. I will stress we do not have any confirmation as to what started this fire or indeed to the numbers of people who have been involved in this, but they are reported that at least 10 people have been killed. This is a very popular area with tourists, including British tourists, but we still don't have details of any of the nationalities of people involved there either. We are expecting an update from police. They are going to give a press conference in the next half an hour or so, so we should get more details then. But of course, you know, this is a ski resort where the Ski World Cup has been held in the past and is actually returning this year. It's been described as this, you know, internationally renowned ski resort, and people there celebrating the new year, ending it in absolute chaos.
Goodness me. Thank you, Fraser. We will hear from you in the next hour after that press conference, as you say, due to take place at 9 a.m. At least 10 people killed at that fire at a Swiss ski resort bar. Fraser Knight there, LBC's reporter. Rob's in Hamburg. Hello, Rob.
Good morning, Henry.
Morning.
Happy and above all, healthy new year.
And same to you, sir. You've caught up about dentistry.
I have. I was speaking to a colleague just now, and I've been living in Germany for about 33 years, and I'm not here to say everything's better in Germany. It's not. But the availability and quality of healthcare is still very, very good. General healthcare is coming under pressure. Dental healthcare is really, it's five-star plus. And I think I know
the
answer.
No need to show off. Go on, why?
Well, I think I may have some rather sobering and unpleasant news for your listeners coming up. I don't know what you pay in national health contributions in Britain. Here in Germany, it's 19.7% of your income, half of which pays your employer, half of which you pay yourself. Now, with my two very modest pensions from Great Britain, a full 19.7% is deducted. And that, I think, is the crux. That is the main issue. How much importance do we place on good health?
Well, we do have an awful lot that we pay into the NHS budget, though, Rob. I mean, it's virtually the size of a small economy.
Yeah, I don't know what the percentages of national health contributions, but my dental practice that I visit here, just outside Hamburg, I think a Harley Street specialist could only dream of having such a surgery and practice. It's quite stunning. And wherever I've lived, dental health care is just available. And I spoke with my dentist about the situation in Britain. All German dentists knows what's going on in Britain. And he could only shake his head in incredulity at what this business of people pulling their own teeth. When I look in Great Britain, I'm in Great Britain a lot. I go there every year. Money is available. When I see the cars that are being driven, how full the supermarket trolleys are, it's a matter of setting priorities. That's my view.
Mm. Well, it's an interesting view, and obviously you're in Hamburg at the moment, so it's time to adopt a German-European approach, you think, when it comes to tax?
Well, certainly ask what they're doing right here. I have to say, my impression is that dentistry in Germany is very, very lucrative. But there can be little items of health which are more important. Who wants to not be able to eat, to smile, to show their teeth? It's incredibly important. And my dentist, when I visit him, he doesn't insist, but he places great importance and value on visiting his dental hygienist three times a year. Mm. And I'm 70 years old, and I've still got a full set of teeth.
Mm. Well,
but yeah, it's 19.7%. You have a choice of a compulsory private health companies here. It's not as exclusive and decadent as it sounds. Everybody has private health insurance. Depending on your trade and what you worked as a living, these insurance companies specialize for different people. And you can choose. There is a certain amount of competition, not that much. There is a set limit from the government, and the private companies can add up, I think, now 2.7% extra, which they all do. But good health care is expensive. To give your listeners an idea of what it cost me, I had a normal job. I was an aircraft maintenance technician in shift work.
Well, that is a normal job. That's a pretty skilled job.
It's not as lucrative as it once was, Henry, believe me.
Right, okay.
And so you and your listeners know what it costs. I live modestly. I have a modest car. And my national health my private health contributions currently every month are €254.
My goodness. Thank you, Rob. You've painted a good picture, a positive picture, certainly, from Hamburg in Germany. Appreciated. More calls on dentistry in a moment. 0345 6060973, the number to call. Is it difficult to get an NHS dentist appointment in your area? What do you put that down to? What is the solution? If you work in the industry, I would very much like to hear your view as well and your solution, hopefully, in order to alleviate the crisis in some of those so-called dental deserts. 0345 6060973, the number to call. 8:40, the time. I mentioned earlier on in international news, Israel has banned parts of Oxfam from Gaza, is one of the headlines. Ruth James is Oxfam's regional humanitarian coordinator for the Middle East and North Africa. Happy New Year, Ruth. Thank you for joining us. There seems to be a bit of confusion based on what I've read. Is the whole of Oxfam as a charity banned, or just certain strands of your organisation? Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks. Happy New Year. Oxfam, all of Oxfam is... What has actually happened is that Oxfam Novib, which is the branch of Oxfam that's based in the Netherlands, holds the registration, the legal registration, the license to operate actually in Israel, not in the occupied Palestinian territory, where we have a separate registration with the Palestinian Authority. So what happened yesterday is that our decades-long registration, like 36 other organizations, was revoked, cancelled. It ran out yesterday, and we have 60 days to adhere to what we've been told to do, which is you know, to be clear, we don't really understand. There's a lot of unclarity around the instruction. But it affects all of Oxfam. It's just that Oxfam has different offices in different countries.
Okay. And you mentioned the other organisations, ActionAid, International Rescue Committee and Médecins Sans Frontières, some of those organisations that have been, or found themselves in the same position as you. I'll just put to you what the Israeli government say. They say that they need detailed information about the operations of NGOs and charities, including lists of staff, local employees and family members. Is that, do you object to that?
Yes, we do. It's not something, I mean, Oxfam obviously and all of those organizations work in a lot of countries all over the world. We don't provide that information anywhere. Now, it's not that the Israeli authorities don't know who our staff are. They're on social security. We pay income tax and all the rest of it. That information is there in the normal way that it's there in any country. But in this case, we need to be clear that there is what Oxfam considers to be a genocide going on in Gaza. And we consider it to be way too risky to share all of these details. There's no transparency and no reason why they want it. But secondly to that, it's actually illegal for us to do that under GDPR. We've had legal advice where our office, where our registration is held in the Netherlands, and we've been told it's illegal for us to do that. And all of those 37 organizations are aligned on that and are, you know, saying that we're not able to do that. We have complied with every other requirement, and we've been told to re-register. Let's not forget, we've been there for decades working. So they've cancelled one registration and asked us to apply for another license to operate. And that process is still ongoing and has not yet been rejected. But everything is very opaque. We really don't understand what any of this means. We don't have a clear kind of communication.
You mentioned the deadline of 60 days earlier on. Is that your window in which to get a resolution to this, or to get your license renewed, as it were, to sort of put it in simplistic terms?
Well, we don't honestly know. I think what's really important to know is that since March of last year now, Oxfam, like many, many other organizations, have not been able to bring any aid into Gaza. We have thousands of food parcels, sanitary pads. We have not been allowed to bring in basic items. So the reality is we've been effectively denied to be the ability to operate for several months. So we're looking at other ways and working with other UN organizations to try and bring in goods.
Thank you. Sorry, you were going on. Carry on.
No, that's fine.
No, sorry. So I thought you finished. Thank you very much for your time. Ruth James is Oxfam's Regional Humanitarian Coordinator for the Middle East and North Africa. Apologies, we're just up against the clock. More calls in a moment. 0345 606 0973. First though, 8:45 is the time. Let's get the news headlines with Lottie Morley.
At least 10 people have been killed and more injured in a fire at a bar in the Swiss Alps. The Prime Minister says he wants to use 2026 to defeat decline and division. And many people will see their energy bills rise from today. LBC weather, a cold and frosty start to the year with some snow and ice in the north, a high of 9 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. It's a New Year's Day parade today, so lots of roads in central London are closed, and they will be until around 8 o'clock this evening. So the parade starts at Green Park at Piccadilly. So Piccadilly is closed. Also, roads approaching Piccadilly Circus also closed, along with Pall Mall. All approaches to Trafalgar Square, Whitehall, and also Parliament Square. So definitely do expect delays as all the buses are on a diversion. Now, elsewhere in Palmer's Green, Hedge Lane stays closed both ways following an accident. In Morden, Central Road is closed after an accident. And in Eltham, Newmarket Green is closed in both directions because of an ongoing police investigation. It's closed at the junction with Eltham Hill, so do expect some queues.
This is LBC. At Pets in a Pickle, we know what it's like welcoming a new pet into the family. Whether it's a curious kitten or a wobbly-legged puppy, they're cute, they're chaos, and sometimes they get themselves into a pickle. That's why we offer fuss-free pet insurance policies with unlimited video call access with First Vet. So the only thing you have to worry about is keeping them away from your favourite vase. For pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
Your Happy New Year could start right here in London. Hannah entered the Omaze Million Pound House draw and won a £4 million house.
House, an actual house!
Paul won a house too.
That's insane.
Now you could be next. And if you enter by midnight tonight, you could also win a Porsche 911 and £100,000. nor recently got the keys to her new car.
Oh, my God.
And this time, it could be you.
And here's the best part. You'll be supporting Alzheimer's Society.
So for your chance to win a luxury house in London worth £5 million and the car with the cash, you must enter by midnight tonight at omaze.co.uk. Over 18s only, no purchase necessary, conditions apply. £1 million charity donation.
Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure.
Henry Reilly on LBC. Text 84850.
8:48 is the time. Thomas says, I pay for private... Oh, no, apologies, I've read that. Mohammed says, it's a nightmare in Newcastle. If you pay private, they'll see you the next day. But NHS dentist is like finding... Yeah, it's difficult to find. This says from Pete, saying, if you embark on parenthood, you should be prepared to take care of them. And the NHS includes dental care. I've just paid £5,000 for my son and his Invisalign straightening. Stop relying on handouts. Well, but we're meant to have dentistry as part of the NHS, Pete, aren't we? And Steve says, dentistry is becoming a luxury only for the rich, with even small fillings costing £300 from a private dentist. It is too much to pay for most of us. Dentists used to be accessible, affordable and easy to find. None of the law applies now, or none of the above applies now. Adam's in Sunderland. Hi, Adam. Oh, my goodness.
Hello.
Hello, what would you like to tell me?
So I'm a dental therapist, and what I would say is,
okay,
as much as we do need dentists to sort of sort the issues out,
yeah,
most dental issues are preventable. So if we follow the normal rules that everybody sort of knows, brush your teeth, avoid snacking, avoid
avoid what sugar. Snacking, did you say?
Snacking, yeah.
Right. Avoid sugar.
And avoid, like, avoiding having loads of sugary drinks and things like that. We won't have those dental issues. People's teeth aren't becoming decayed because they can't see a dentist. They're becoming decayed because of poor oral hygiene, essentially.
Sure, but, I mean, we can't just stop people having sugary drinks and smoking and snacking, can we?
Well, we can't, but people have to take some sort of personal responsibility. As much as we need an NHS, we can't be relying entirely on the NHS to prevent or to mitigate the damage that we've done to ourselves.
Of course, but we also don't want people to sort of live like hedgehogs and to hibernate all year. Like, people have got to go out and enjoy themselves, maybe have a beer with a bit of sugar in, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah,
but
right.
If we're doing that every single day, then we're relying on somebody else to take up the weight of fixing those issues.
Yeah.
We've got to take some personal responsibility.
What are some of the worst things you've seen as a dental therapist, Adam?
Well, again, it's not really... When I'm seeing it as a professional head, there isn't really a worst-case scenario. We're here to try and help and we're here to try and fix.
Right, OK. But as in you... I suppose the point I was driving at is, are you more conscious about that, obviously because of your job and you see the damage it can do?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
But again, you see a lot of people who come in who they're going into their 40s, 50s and don't need a cleaning, have never had a filling. It's because they followed this sort of advice throughout their entire lives.
Okay, well, thank you. Adam, the dental therapist from Sunderland, who says we need to brush twice daily, hold back on the sugar and the snacks as well. Edward says, I moved to Devon in 2002 and have not been able to see an NHS dentist since then. In 23 years. The last time I looked for a local dentist, the NHS suggested one in Poole, which is a three-hour drive from here. It's scandalous, says Edward of Dartmoor. And Robin Barnett says, I struggle to find an NHS dentist, specifically regarding the removal of a wisdom tooth. Also, there's a two-week waiting list, and quoted from numerous dentists, of between £450 and £750. I ended up getting a flight to Malta, booked an emergency appointment and had it removed for €100. With the flights and hotel, it was cheaper and quicker than the UK. It does seem crazy that that's the case, doesn't it? And Gareth says dentistry is a disgrace in Wales. Well, we heard that from our veteran earlier on, didn't we? And Bernie says the main reason nobody can get an NHS dentist is because most of the dental practices have gone private to make more money. Also, if you're lucky to be registered and haven't been to see them for a while, lots of surgeries take you off their list. And Steve in South Wales says, I live in South Wales, thank you, signed up for the NHS system to be contacted by an available NHS dentist. That same day I walked into a dentist and signed up and have had an appointment within 2 months. I've since been asking to be contacted multiple times by dentists to ask if I still needed to find one. I find it unbelievable that some people haven't been able to find a dentist in 18 years. More views on that in a moment. The number is 0345 606 0973. We will come back, as I say, to that in just a moment. First, though, young Atlantic salmon have been seen in three rivers in northwest England for the first time since 2015. The salmon species were declared critically endangered in Britain in 2023, but fish have been spotted in the Mersey, Bolin, and various other rivers, meaning that they have successfully travelled from the Arctic Circle to spawn. Mike Duddy is chair of Salford Friendly Anglers, the world's oldest angling society. Happy New Year, Mike. Nice to have you on. How have they made their way from... How rare is this, I suppose I should ask firstly? Good morning.
Morning to you. It's a lot less rare than people think. The Mersey was one of the most polluted river systems. Well, it still is one of the most polluted river systems in Europe. And salmon were totally absent from about 1935 all the way through to the early 2000s, where they suddenly reappeared as water quality improved. So as Margaret Thatcher had shut down most of the polluting industries, the water quality improved to the point where salmon could actually live in that water. So in 2003, 2004, salmon started recovering in the Lower Mersey. The fact that we've now got salmon par is a sign that the salmon are actually breeding. So there's two different things. One is to actually have salmon returning, but most importantly, with the endangered status salmon, the most important thing is that salmon are now actually coming back and breeding as well, and the salmon par are thriving and returning to the sea to complete their natural life cycle.
We talk a lot about the health of rivers in the UK. Is this an improving picture in your view, or is it going the other way?
It's a very slowly improving picture, is the best description. If you were to commit an action today, it's like planting a tree. Your grandchildren will benefit. It takes a long time for these improvements to actually show any benefit.
Talk to me about angling. How did you get into it, and what would you say to people who want to pursue it or get into it themselves?
And it's the best hobby in the world. I've been keen on fishing since I was 4 years old. My father was a fisherman. My grandfather was a fisherman. It's the most relaxing thing that I can, or relaxing pastime that I can think of doing. But we've got a fishing club. It's the oldest fishing club in the world. We've got 6,000 members. We're based in Manchester. And we offer free fishing. There's so much good fishing around the UK, it's unbelievable. And you can catch salmon.
And you can catch salmon, exactly. And we often talk about people being addicted to their phones and their screens, and that seems like a pretty good pastime, a pretty good hobby to get involved with. Mike, thank you. Mike Duddy is chair of Salford Friendly Anglers, as he mentioned, the world's oldest angling society. Which of my LBC colleagues is really into their angling? Do you know? Anyone? Matthew Wright. I remember him telling me that he'd seen brown trout in the River Wandle, which is not a million miles away from, that's in sort of Wandsworth way, isn't it? I'm just around the corner from that. So there's trout in the Wandle, and now there's salmon in the Mersey. What next? Mick's in Liverpool. Ah, appropriately enough. You seen any salmon, Mick?
No. There's lots of trout mouth kicking about Liverpool, but not so much salmon. So, I've just caught the tail end of your talk about dentistry. I'm actually I'm flying off to Antalya tomorrow to get all my teeth out and replaced with implants. Now, the reason I'm doing this, mate, is I find it practically impossible to get an appointment for the dentist in Liverpool. Like, it went on years after COVID, I couldn't get an appointment. Now, my teeth are in a pretty bad state. So I signed up with a very well-known no medical provider.
Mm-hmm.
So the last time I went for an appointment, I walked in and the lady, before she took my name, told me she needed £75 off me. She didn't know my name. She didn't know what I was there for. But she knew she needed £75 off me. And that kind of spurred me on. And I've got a few friends who've been to Turkey and they've got the teeth done. And do you know what? They look fantastic.
So well, and I'm pleased that, Mick, but you do also, and I, and by the way, I wish you nothing but success tomorrow, but
yes,
you do also hear horror stories, don't you? Are you worried about that at all or not?
So I've not heard any horror stories. I've heard people who've heard horror stories,
right,
but no one from here found. So I don't know whether that's just a little bit of a... Listen, nothing goes perfect 100% of the time, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
From the guys that I've seen, and it's multiple guys that I've seen going out to Turkey, not one of them has had an issue that they've told me about. But, so, I drive a taxi around Liverpool, so I have heard a lot of second hands, oh, well, my cousin or my cousin's friend have had these problems.
Yeah.
I've never heard it from the actual person.
You don't have to answer this, but I am just curious. Could I ask what the cost savings going to be to you? Have you worked out how much you would be paying here and how much you'll pay in Turkey?
So I've not worked out how much I'll be paying here. I'll tell you, in Turkey, I'm paying just under £10,000, but that's flight and hotel, that's everything. But you know what, what I'm putting that against, I'm 46 years of age. I've maybe got 30 years of what I hope to be two to three problems, because as I say, I'm getting everything out. So if I compare that to 30 years of NHS and 38 to this other company who just want to take money off me, that's all they want to do is take money off me. I had to go for an X-ray. I had to go to the same place for an X-ray.
Yeah.
But before I walked in, like £90. And it's just, like I say, you can't get an NHS dentist. I've tried. You can't get one. And when you go to this other company, before they know anything about you, they want cash off you.
Yeah. Do you? And that seems to be the experience. People are saying that, yeah, it does seem to be cash is the priority, which you...
Absolutely.
Sort of,
absolutely.
Are you making a holiday out of it, Mick? When do you get back?
So I'm going out for a week, and I'll be in the dentist's chair for 6 days, but I do have to go back. I do have to go back in July or June, so you've got to give your gums, I think it's 6 months to heal.
Well, if
before, go on.
I was going to say, well, let me know how you get on. I'd very much like to hear from you. Thank you, Mick. If you see a man in Liverpool driving a taxi with the best teeth, then that will be Mick in Liverpool. Mick, do give me a call. Let me know how it all goes. Best of luck to you, Mick, there on the Mersey. Coming up...
Support for children with SEND, making sure we've got a much better system, is what is driving everything this government is doing.
That's Education Secretary Bridget Phillips. And one of the front pages this morning, parents whose children have moderate mental health and developmental needs will be stripped of their legal rights to support under plans considered by the government. Will that affect you? Plus... of The Traitors starts today, but can we really go back to the normal version after the success of the celebrity version with Alan Carr? And
if you're one of the many people thinking of doing Dry January, here's a little tip for you. Keep it to yourself. It's boring. You're boring.
I've done Dry January, but I have to agree with Greg Davies. Are you going to be doing it this year?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, at least 10 people have been killed after an explosion at a bar at a Swiss ski resort. Police say an unknown number were also injured at Crans-Montana in Switzerland in the early hours. LBC's Fraser Knight has the details.
It's about 2 hours south from the capital of Bern in the region of Valais. It's very popular with tourists from all over the world, including from here in the UK. More than 100 people, we're told, were inside Le Constellation Bar on that ski resort, bringing in the new year when a fire tore through it. Now, there were reports of an explosion, some local media suggesting that there may have been fireworks involved. Police haven't confirmed yet what has caused it.
The Prime Minister is promising to defeat decline and division by staying on course this year. In his New Year message, Sir Keir Starmer's acknowledged life is still harder than it should be for many. Tory leader Kemi Badenoch also shared words of optimism for 2026, saying we shouldn't lose hope.
There is a lot to look forward to this year. No, not Labour's tax rises, but a Winter Olympics, a World Cup,
and for political geeks, local elections. Many in our country are finding it harder and harder to imagine life getting better, but we shouldn't lose hope.
Ukraine's president has used his New Year address to say he wants to end the war with Russia, but not at any cost. Volodymyr Zelensky promised the Ukrainian people he would not sign a weak peace deal.
Let us begin with the most important thing. What does Ukraine want? Peace? Yes. At any cost? No. We want the end of the war, not the end of Ukraine.
President Putin has told Russians he's confident they will win the war. As cold weather alerts are issued, many households are seeing their energy bills rise from today. The price cap is going up by 0.2%, adding about 28 pence to the average monthly bill in England, Wales and Scotland. It's thought the cap will fall again in April. And health visitors will be able to offer vaccinations to children from struggling families across parts of England. The £2 million government pilot aims to improve immunisation rates. Not one childhood vaccine in England met the 95% target in 2024. LBC weather, a really cold and frosty start to the year with some snow and ice in the north. Staying dry and sunny elsewhere with a high of 9 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Lottie Morley.
The Hilton sale is now on, and thankfully it doesn't sound like this. Instead, our sale sounds a bit more like this.
Welcome back.
With a warm welcome, spacious rooms, central locations, and up to 20% off your stay. You can swap chaos for comfort this winter. Book now at Hilton.com. Hilton, for the stay. Offer subject to availability across participating hotels. Terms and conditions apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Henry Reilly.
4 minutes after nine is the time. Good morning. You're listening to Henry Reilly here on LBC. Lovely to have your company this hour.
Spend and support for children and families and for schools as well is such a big issue. And it's one that we're putting a lot of work into and a lot of thought into about how we get it right.
That is the Education Secretary, Bridget Phillipson, on the front pages of one of the newspapers today. It could well affect you. There's going to be a cutback in the cost-cutting plans of the government, but a cutback in terms of special needs support. We'll let you know if that affects you. Also,
full electric car sales are in the toilet. The bubble has burst. No one wants to buy new, brand new, full electric vehicles.
That's a YouTuber, Electric Vehicle Man. As it's announced today, the introduction of electric vehicle chargers has slowed for the first time in a blow to the government's drive to banish petrol and diesel cars. And we will also discuss on telly tonight the return of the traitors.
Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. This is LBC.
5 minutes past nine, the time. Good morning, Henry Reilly with you here on LBC. This New Year's Day, it's bank holiday, isn't it? Yeah, New Year's Day, bank holiday. Nice to have your company with you here for the next hour before Ian Dale is with you from 10. I want to talk to you this hour about Dry January. It's something I've been toying with for the last few weeks. I did do it a couple of years ago. I think I've done it twice. Once moderately successfully, because I haven't not broke it, if that makes sense, broken it. And then one was I sort of did have to confess give up after 12 days or so, purely because I was finding that month of January sort of slightly depressing and cold and everything, and I was at a friend's birthday and I decided to give it up. But I want to know if you are doing Dry January this year. What has prompted you to do it? Do you do it every January? If so, why? What do you get out of it? And if you read the advice of health experts, there seems to be a bit of a dividing line as to whether it's a good thing, whether it encourages excess in the month of December and February, for example. I mean, in December, we know that is often the case with food and drink, for example, with it being the festive season and whatnot. But if you are doing it, why? And if you're not doing it, is that because you struggle to give up the booze, or because January it has already a lot of challenges and you don't want to sort of add to your woes, if you see it that way, of course? I suppose I would just like to know. I mean, I'm not going to do it probably, but maybe you can persuade me to do Dry January this hour. 0345 6060 973 is the number to call. Someone who certainly won't be doing Dry January is the comedian Greg Davies, appearing on Channel 4's Taskmaster.
If you're one of the many people thinking of doing Dry January, here's a little tip for you. Keep it to yourself. It's boring. You're boring. You were boring when you were on the drink. Seriously, stop telling us about your life. And if you're one of the many people thinking of doing the keto diet to kick off the new year, here's a little tip for you. Keep it to yourself. It's boring. It was never the weight that was your problem. You're boring. You were boring fat and you're boring thin. Do you see the pattern? Stop telling us about your life. And also, if you're thinking of training for the marathon this year, shut up!
As someone who did do the marathon a few years ago, I can confess, I got that a few times from friends saying, "Please, Henry, we love you, please stop mentioning the bloody marathon. You keep talking about it all the time. We're not interested. It's great you're doing it. Now shut up." But you do have these apps like sort of Strava, for example, and I do find it irritating even going on there now. People going, marathon run one, marathon run five. You can donate here. But we're not talking about the marathon this hour. We're talking about dry January. They may be linked, actually, I suppose. If you're doing the marathon, maybe you're giving up the booze for a period in order to help you train for that. Let's turn to Carmela Rodia, who is alcohol-free sobriety coach and educator. Thank you for joining us. Happy New Year to you. Your view, firstly, on dry January, is it effective?
For some people, incredibly effective if they want long-term sobriety. You know, I think it's a really good way of kickstarting any sort of New Year's health kick and, you know, just wanting to feel a little bit better. It's interesting you mentioned when you actually struggled with dry January was when it was a particularly tough January. Well, actually, you know, benefits of sobriety can be to help increase your, should we say, positive moods, make you more motivated, you know, less anxiety, less feeling sluggish, less depressive, because alcohol is a depressant. So I think, you know, actually, if you're looking to feel better in January, and a lot of people do struggle with January, kicking the booze is a really good place to start.
Do you do it yourself? Are you alcohol free the whole time? Could I ask?
I've been sober 5.5 years. I'm going to be honest, I never could do a whole dry January.
Really?
So yeah, no, I really, really struggled with dry January, and you know, but that's quite effective in itself. You know, for me, realizing I was really struggling to do a whole dry January gave me an opportunity to really think, actually, do you know what I mean? Am I just able to dip in and dip out of, you know, periods of sobriety, or is there something else going on? So for me, it was actually a bit of a wake up call doing dry January and actually failing several times.
There will be people listening to this who have a problem with alcohol, whether they recognise that or not. As someone who has given it up completely, in your view, in your experience, Carmela, how tough has it been? Because many people see it as something that is completely unachievable, but you are evidence that it is achievable.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't happen overnight. It took a long time. You know, it was lots of trial and error, lots of reframing my thoughts around alcohol, big piece of re-education. And to be honest, it's kind of like, I guess, challenging society's norms around alcohol consumption. You know, the fact that you, again, you mentioned friend's birthday, you know, straight away, if there's a party, we straight away associate that with alcohol and the need to drink. And actually finding yourself in those social situations without the crutch of alcohol, you know, you realise actually for most of us, we probably haven't ever been in these social situations without alcohol since probably we were, you know, young people ourselves. So actually, you know, switching your behaviours took time, but it is achievable. You know, it's not a case of I've made dry January stick, I can, you know, continue sobriety. Sometimes that 30-day period of reset makes people feel good and see the benefits of sobriety. And sometimes we have to learn to see the benefits before we can really start thinking about making those long-term changes. So, you know, going back to the dry January thing, it can be really, really effective to help people on that road to longer term sobriety too.
And of course, when it comes to the choice, whether it's right or wrong, people do sort of have a drink at birthdays, as we mentioned, to fit in. And now there's such an array of non-alcoholic non-alcoholic drinks. Like every pub I go into now seems to have non-alcoholic Guinness or Guinness Zero, as they call it, on tap, and various non-alcoholic beers. It's a lot easier to have a pint that is not alcoholic these days.
Oh, absolutely. And it's great because there's people that, you know, maybe aren't sober like myself, but actually wanting to make some more healthy lifestyle choices, you know, switching out, a full, alcoholic beer for a zero beer, you know, on occasions. It's actually really, really positive. I think there's been a massive shift, even in the time that I've been sober, towards this whole non-drinking movement, and less about the problem with alcohol, but more the education. You know, at one point we thought smoking was healthy. Look at it now, how many of us are smoking? It's the same around alcohol. We're understanding the long-term impacts of any alcohol use that it has on the body. I think as a nation we are actually moving towards, you know, more mindful wellness, you know, doing our marathons, you know, challenging ourselves, and actually a big part of that wanting to reach these other goals. People are realizing alcohol is a big sort of sticking point, so even making a few choices for a non-alcoholic switch every now and again is going to be helping people see the benefits. So it's a really positive thing.
Does it encourage excess, though? In February, for example, people feel like they're sort of crawling to February, and then, right, first night, they almost start sort of binge drinking.
Yeah, you know what? I did a post around this because my views of Dry January is that Dry January shouldn't be used as an excuse for excess in, say, December. You know, we're all brought into the whole hype around, you know, we need to be drinking to celebrate. So we're overdoing it, overindulging. And then come January, it's like, here we go, we can wipe the slate clean. You will be damaging yourself. And it's any period away from alcohol, any switch is going to be positive, but we shouldn't be ignoring the fact that any alcohol use will be having an effect on our body. So yeah, you know, to that point, really, I personally think we should be being more mindful throughout the year, you know, like making those switches. You don't have to be completely sober, but being a little bit more mindful about our consumption and not completely conforming to the narrative of we need to have a drink at key points of the year or drink to excess. And yes, you know, Dry January, it's great. It's more socially acceptable to step away from the booze. Come February, you see everyone straight back into the bars, and it's like, we've done our 30 days. Let's just, you know, go back to how things were. But there's going to be a lot of people as well that are maybe trying to continue that journey of being alcohol free. And actually, I think we should all be a little bit more supportive and mindful of those people that are wanting to continue those, you know, positive effects.
Sage words. Thank you for your time. Appreciated. Carmela Rodia is alcohol free sobriety coach and educator. Happy New Year. More calls, in fact, your calls on that in a moment. Is it something you are planning to do this year, Dry January? Did you actually start Dry January and then stop drinking altogether? I know of at least one person who did last year, did Dry January, and actually hasn't had a drop of alcohol since. Do you think it's all a bit of a waste of time? Look, I'd be totally honest with you. I'm not going to do it because I do enjoy a drink, and I have various engagements planned this month, and January's already a depressing, although I do use that, I say January's already depressing, I might as well sort of have a drink. And then when it comes to summer, you think, well, summer's not depressing, but equally it's a nice time to have a drink when it's sort of sitting in a beer garden with a pint is bliss, in my view. But I know that that is not the case for everyone, and it can be very serious if you have an alcohol addiction. So did you do it in the past? How effective was it, and will you be doing it this year, Dry January? 0345 6060 973 is the number to call. We'll take your views on that. Sarah, you'll be the first caller. Also,
like many parents of a disabled child, I keenly feel the unfairness in the challenges that my child will face throughout her life.
That's Labour MP Jen Craft. The government preparing for a potential backlash after it was leaked that parents whose children have moderate mental health and developmental needs are set to be stripped of their legal rights to certain supports under plans being considered by ministers. We'll discuss that next. 9:15 the time, the news with Lottie Morley.
At least 10 people have been killed after an explosion at a bar at a Swiss ski resort. The Prime Minister is promising to defeat decline and division by staying on course this year. And as cold weather alerts are issued, many households are seeing their energy bills rise today. LBC weather, a really cold and frosty start to the year with a high of 9 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Traffic's being held on the Surrey stretch of the M25 anti-clockwise just before junction 5 at the M26. It's following an accident and there are queues on the approach. In Farnham, the A31, which is the Alton Road, is closed in both directions, and that's closed between the A31 junction and the Shepherd and Flock roundabout, and that's following an accident and it's very busy now on the approach. In central London, it's a New Year's Day parade, so lots of roads are closed. The parade's starting at Green Park on Piccadilly. So Piccadilly is closed. All approaches to Piccadilly Circus, all approaches to Trafalgar Square and also Parliament Square as well. So definitely do expect delays.
This is LBC.
Now, I'm as guilty as anyone when it comes to ignoring things. Rogue grey hairs, red flags in relationships, or that service reminder on your car dash. Luckily, that one's easy. Visit Cinch for fat-free servicing at over 100 locations. Any car, whether you bought it from Cinch or not. With MOTs, £39.95 and servicing from only £129.95. To book your service or buy your next car, visit cinch.co.uk. See cinch.co.uk/servicing for details. Terms and exclusions apply.
This is LBC.
Did you know Vets for Pets are
the nation's most trusted vets?
We think that's because they're
locally owned
and locally loved.
Wherever you are,
we've got a vet local to you.
Vets for Pets. We're all for pets. Based on a survey. To verify, search vetsforpets.com/allforpets.
Check you're on track for a happy retirement with PensionBee's easy-to-use app. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
EasyJet's Big Orange Sale is now on. New year, new plans, new deals. With up to £400 off package holidays and up to 20% off flights. EasyJet. Get out there. Selected dates and flights. Flight sale ends 3rd of Feb. Holiday sale ends 3rd of March. Min spend and ATL protected. T's and C's apply.
When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you.
Life feels better with a smile. Fanning Dental Group Clinics. Modern, comfortable and affordable dentistry for all. See online for our price match promise. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling and the whole world smiles with you.
FanningDental.co.uk.
If you have an M&S online account or a Sparks card, your data may have been exposed in a recent cyber attack. Earlier this year, M&S confirmed a data breach affecting customer information, including personal data. If you've ever shopped online at M&S or used Sparks, you could be entitled to compensation through a group action claim. Check your eligibility today at jointheclaim.com. It's quick, secure and easy to do online at jointheclaim.com.
Henry Riley on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Your big decision to make today is whether you're going to do Dry January. I'm putting my cards firmly on the table that I am not going to do Dry January, but I'm open to persuasion. I am actually, not that I have, you know, I'm planning to have a drink today because I'm seeing a few friends. And I did go into the new year with some nice champagne, nothing fancy, it was just something I got given. I might have a drink today, basically. And I haven't had a drink so far all year. Cue the first of many of such gags. But are you going to do Dry January? What is the reason? Is it because you think you might have a problem? Is it to test yourself in terms of seeing if you can do it for a sustained period? Have you never done it before? And this will be the first year you try Dry January. And if, like me, you've done it in the past, why did you do it and why are you not doing it now? 0345 6060973 is the number to call. Messages coming in. Fred in Plymouth says, haven't drunk alcohol since I was 22. Don't miss it at all. Not particularly fond of the taste of it. What's the benefit of it? It costs unnecessary money. It's poor for your health and offers zero benefits. My social life hasn't been affected at all. If anything, it's improved and I can actually function and love my life and spend time with my family. Well, I'm happy it works for you. I mean, I'm not going to... I do sort of, there are some people in the media who do have a sort of holier than thou attitude to this. I'm just going to be playing with you. I like having a drink. No if or buts. Sorry if that offends people, but I'm not saying that it offends you, Fred. Roger says, morning, Henry. Roger from Cornwall. I'll be doing dry shopping January. Done it a few times. I've got some alcohol left after the festivities. I'll eke it out. And when it runs out, tough, no alcohol. Good way to ease yourself off, I find. Stops the habit, saves a few quid. Much needed. Give it a try. Problem is, Roger, I've got a whole, my whole cupboard is full of booze because I've just got so much left over. So that might actually encourage me to drink to excess. Bernie says, what's the point of dry January? As soon as February begins, you start drinking and maybe even more to catch up on what you missed. Total waste of time. And Steve-O says, this is a drug. It is as destructive as any other substance. I've lost two friends to this and a son who's been caught up in this and is suicidal, which is magnified by this. Dry January, I encourage and wish more people were boring and healthy. And a very personal experience there, Steve. I'm grateful you shared it with us. And Lorraine in Fulham says, I was very drunk one day over Christmas and totally embarrassed myself with friends and family, and it's been on my mind ever since. I'm nearly 70 now, and I gave up drinking since I was 14. I have been drinking since I was about 14. Time to give up. I will do dry January, but we'll go a lot further. Alcohol is not the way anymore, says Lorraine in Fulham. Sarah is in Shush in Portugal. Am I saying that right?
It's Shoush.
Shoush. Sorry, I wasn't telling you to shush. What would you like to tell me?
Very similar to your last lady, actually. I started drinking in my early teens. I'm now 62. Never really had a problem, but always, you know, alcohol was very much part of my life. And I actually stopped 3 days ago, just to see if I could. I did have a glass of wine last night with dinner, but that's it now. January, and at the end of January I'll see how I am, so it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Will you find it tough, or will you be all right?
I don't think so. I also, last year, about 18 months ago, I stopped smoking, and I'd smoked for 50 years, so I'm kind of getting used to cutting things out of my life.
When did you give up smoking? Last year, did you say?
Last year, I started smoking when I was 10 years old, and I stopped when I was 60.
So you've been smoking 50 years.
50 years.
Did you go on to the vapes, or did you give up completely?
No. It's a little bit ironic. I trained 4 years ago as a remedial hypnotist, and I worked
as a remedial hypnotist. Oh, remedial
like
hypnotist.
Hypnotherapy,
sorry, yes.
But without the transit. And so I work with people who smoke and who drink, and I thought, well, you know, I can't be helping people give these things up if I can't do it myself.
Do you miss it?
And the alcohol.
The smoking?
No, I don't. No.
Really?
I now look back and think, how on earth did I do that? I mean, what? There are no situations in my life where having a cigarette is going to make anything better.
Yeah.
And it's as simple as that. So no, I don't regret that I did it. That was who I was at the time, but not me anymore.
Well, I hope if you're giving up smoking, you're giving up. I hope you've got a lot of chocolate stocked in, Sarah. Give yourself some pleasure.
I've actually taken up going to the gym.
Again. Good. Well, that's much better, actually. Pretend I didn't say anything about chocolate. That's much more healthy.
I can actually deadlift more than my own weight already. So
what are you deadlifting?
Yeah. 75 kilos so far.
Don't want to mess with you, Sarah. All right. Why are you in Portugal? Are you on holiday in Shoush?
No. I live here. I've lived here coming up for 19 years now.
And you still listen to LBC?
You still listen to LBC, yeah. Wouldn't Fantastic. Rich you for the world.
Who's your favourite? Don't say me, please, because I'm never on.
Yeah, it would be James O'Brien.
O'Brien. We'll get the message to him. Thank you, Sarah.
Okay, thank you.
Enjoy.
Bye, Henry.
Shoush. Sarah in Shoush in Portugal. More calls on dry January in a moment. 0345 6060973. Have you ever done it in the past? What were the benefits of it? And why are you, or why are you not, delete is appropriate, doing it this year? Anne says, I'm coming round yours, Henry. Yeah, well, I've got an awful lot of booze stocked up in the above my wardrobe, which I'm... I sort of slowly getting to, but at Christmas it always tots up. Everyone goes, Henry likes gin. Now I've got sort of, not complaining, but I've got all this gin now as well. So, yeah, there's a good party happening in Putney area tonight. 9:25 is the time. You're not invited, by the way. If we talk about other stories, the front page of the Times, special needs support at risk in cost-cutting plans. Hundreds of thousands of parents could lose legal rights as spending on SEND nears £13 billion. Now, parents whose children have moderate mental health and developmental needs are set to be stripped of their legal rights to certain supports under plans that are being considered by ministers. Legal documents that guarantee extra support for children with special needs are to be restricted to the most severe and complex cases. Under the proposals, the legal rights granted to parents over their child support would be taken over by schools, which would deal with councils and the government directly. These reforms are designed to stem the soaring cost of the provision. However, on the politics of it, there's expected to be a backlash from Labour MPs. Steve Chalk is chief of the Oasis Academy Trust, which represents 54 academy schools. And it's lovely to speak with you again, Steve. Thank you for joining me. Can I ask firstly, clearly there is a problem with the cost that is being spent. And I say a problem just purely because of the amount it has gone up by. Is this a sensible move in your view?
Well, Happy New Year, first
Happy
of
New
all,
Year.
Henry. And I think at the end of the article, actually, I've read the whole thing, there's a government spokesperson who says this is all speculation and we haven't made these details public yet. So it is all speculation. I think that if there is a move to make schools responsible for this, and that's funded well so that schools can do it, that's a good move because at the moment, those EHCPs, education healthcare plans, there are about 1.5 million children, we think, that need those in the country. About 500,000 receive them. But those children tend to come from middle-class, well-equipped families where parents can fight legal cases and get what they needed. The others get left out. Now, if the responsibility comes to schools, you'll create a fairer, more level playing ground and a sense of equality, because running schools, I know that our teachers, they understand each child, however rich or poor their background is, and they're going to create equality, but it's got to be funded properly. How it could save money, Matthew, I'm not really sure how you can save money on care for children with ADHD or dyslexia or on the autistic spectrum, for instance, unless you're talking about all the legal costs that councils spend fighting parents' desire to get these. So if you can streamline the thing and keep it in school, it could work, but we need the detail.
Whitehall sources said EHCPs often end up binding taxpayers into funding one-to-one sessions that could be replaced with a teaching assistant for several pupils with special needs in class. Is there a sense they are too generous, too widespread?
I think that what happens all the time, Matthew, is schools are not funded and equipped to give the one-to-one care that, for instance, teaching assistants used to give to people. So because that child begins to fall behind, because in a classroom of 30, you teach to the middle, and a child with learning difficulties of any type then gets left behind. And the further they get left behind, the more constrained their learning becomes, and the more they begin to feel like they don't fit. If we can equip schools well, we get far. But if you're going to cut EHCPs to families without equipping schools, we're heading down the wrong road, and it's going to cost us a fortune, not just socially but economically, because every child, of course, is either a lifelong contributor to the economy or a lifelong cost to it. So a society that doesn't invest in children, whether their mental health and learning difficulties are severe and moderate, is a society that needs to stop and think again.
Thank you, Steve. Steve Chalk is chief of the Oasis Academy Trust, which represents 54 academy schools. Is this something that would affect you if this developmental and mental health need support is being stripped, is being watered down? The legal rights granted to parents over their child support would be taken over by schools, which would deal with councils and the government directly. Is that a sensible idea? And of the 13 billion pounds that SEND, Special Educational Needs Development, now costs. Since 2018, it's almost doubled and is now 13 billion, as I say. How else is best to get that number down? Because it's like sort of many areas, welfare being just one, where we're spending an awful lot of money, and I've no doubt that a lot of people need it, but is it unsustainable? The answer probably is yes, isn't it? 0345 6060973 is the number to call. We'll come to your views on that and Dry January in a moment. Also,
manufacturers thought there was going to be this smooth transition to electric, and it hasn't happened as imagined.
That is YouTuber Harry's Garage, and the headline in the Telegraph, rollout of EV charges suffers slowdown in blow to Labour. The number of electric vehicle charges being installed in Britain has fallen for the first time. Why? We'll tell you in a moment. 9.31 is the time. The news is with Lottie Morley.
In the past few minutes, Swiss police have said several dozen people are presumed dead after a fire at a ski resort bar. Officials say around 100 more were hurt when it happened in Crans, Montana in the early hours of this morning. Hundreds of people are thought to have been at La Constellation bar to celebrate the new year. Many people will see their energy bills rise from today. Ofgem's price cap will increase by 0.2%, leading to a rise of around 28 pence a month for the average household. And most of Alaska has now entered 2026. It follows Los Angeles, Las Vegas and Vancouver. More than 100,000 people lined the River Thames for celebrations in London last night. LBC weather, a chilly start to the year with some snow and ice in the north and a high of 9 degrees.
This is LBC.
Now it's time to thank our partner for this episode, eBay.
Guys, as you know, I've just moved house and I realised we made one big mistake in the moving process.
Uh-oh.
We didn't do the clear out before packing up.
Oh, it's a schoolboy error that, Chris.
I know. But it's okay, because I'm thinking now's the perfect time to have a little bit of a declutter, because we're going into the new year. No better time to get through and find those hidden gems and give them a new home.
Yeah, too right.
Yeah, absolutely spot on, mate. I also moved on the same day as you, which is weird. And I sold so much stuff on eBay. It's made settling into the new place so much smoother. It's free and easy to sell on the eBay app, from fashion and tech to furniture and collectibles. Just snap, list, and you're done.
Look, guys, you don't have to convince me. You know I love a bit of eBay. And when I get home, I'm going to actually sort out my wardrobe and get some new bits listed on eBay.
I keep saying I'm going to sort my wardrobes out as well. I need to do that. When it's this easy to sell for free, you can't help but say when it's eBay.
Download the eBay app and start selling for free today. Excludes vehicles and business sellers.
Sail into 2026 and save 15% when you book early. Pastries in Paris, wine tasting in Bordeaux, skiing in Chamonix. Your European adventure starts here with P&O ferries from Dover to Calais. Book early for 2026 and save 15% off standard fares for long breaks. Book now at poferries.com. T's and C's and exclusions apply. Travel without the travel.
Lost World Play Barn, Dragon Castle Children's Farm, Jumping Pillows, Wallabies, Froggy Soft Play. Tommy's Tractor Play Barn, Quadrapillar, Rowing Boats, Owl Displays, Meerkats, Honey Pot, Bears. Kids, put on your swimmers for Jungle Splash.
Yeah, let's go, Mum.
Right. Cannon Arena, Lemurs, Jungle Kingdom Go-Karts, Wave Runner 2, Magical Wood and Cafe.
Nutcatch Adventure Park.
The sun goes on and on and on and on.
Book now at nutcatch.com.
Henry Riley on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Good morning. 9.34 is the time. Views coming in already on the story about SEND, the special needs support at risk in cost-cutting plans. Sam says, isn't it ridiculous that when a country is in dire straits, they go after the most vulnerable? GB is finished. There's so much money offshored and hidden tax not paid. But yes, let's go after those who can't afford to defend themselves, says Sam from Lincoln, who is a learning disability nurse. And Laura says, it is best adopted children's parents don't get to decide how the funding the school receives from a child is spent. Well, that seems to be the debate, isn't it? Who's best to decide? Is it parents or is it the schools with the help of dealing with the councils and the government directly? I'll be totally honest, I don't know necessarily the answer. So I'm keen to hear and be guided by you on that. The rise, by the way, in increasing numbers of children diagnosed with autism and ADHD being given these EHCPs, education, health and care plans, documents detailing a child's specific needs, there's been a huge increase. An overhaul of the system of support will be detailed in a white paper we read. We'll get your views on that in a second. 25 to 10 the time. Another story featured on many of the front pages. The rollout of EV chargers has suffered a slowdown in a blow to Labour. The number of electric vehicle chargers installed in Britain has fallen for the first time in a blow to the government's push for drivers to switch from petrol to diesel. Public charger installations are down by 30% for the first 11 months of this year compared to all of 2020, or say this year, they've slightly, of course, missed that, as in last year, technically, compared to the whole of 2024, the first time on record that the rate has not increased. Catherine Porter is an independent energy consultant and founder of What Logic. This would seem to me surprising, particularly when we have quite large grants, even announced at the most recent budget for people to switch to electric, Catherine. How worried should we be?
Well, it's interesting because you hear a lot of noise and excitement about the share of new car registrations of electric cars going up. And that they are still rising as a percentage of new cars sold, although that rate of growth has fallen this year. But the number of new cars sold is actually quite a small percentage of the total number of cars that change hands. You get maybe 1.7 or 1.8 new cars being sold each year, but between 7.5 and 8 million used cars being sold. And only 5% of the cars on the road in the UK at the moment are electric cars. So there's actually a really big gap. And what we've been finding is that people are holding on to old cars for longer, partly because electric cars are relatively more expensive. Some people find modern cars a bit more complicated to use with all the touchscreen technology. And also you've got cost of living pressures. So I think, you know, this rate of change, the increase of the car charges slowing down,
yeah,
and the new installations falling is possibly reflecting that in some ways.
People would also question, why buy an electric car when you have this new pay per mile tax that has come in? Admittedly, it's very small, by the way, and it's to make up, of course, the loss in fuel duty. But also, the sale of new petrol and diesel cars looks like it's that sort of ban from 2030 is going to be pushed back once again.
Yeah, so a small plug here, although it's free. I've got a report being published in 2 weeks. And as part of this report, I've been looking at electrification, including the electrification of road transport. And I calculated the relative costs of ownership of electric cars and conventional cars. And what I found was, and this, I'd written this before they announced this, this new charge. But what I found was that if you buy a brand new electric car, then in the first year or so of ownership, if you charge it at home or on a private charger, then that electric car will be cheaper to run than a conventional car. But as that car starts to age, the higher cost of maintenance, the higher cost of components, and the higher insurance costs start to take over. So for most people, most of the time, it's actually cheaper not to have a new electric car. Or not to have an electric car at all. So the economics really just don't add up. Not everyone can charge at home. You get higher insurance costs, you get higher maintenance costs, and all of that just adds up.
What if you're using, if you're not charging at home and you're using, I actually don't know what they're called, but the sort of...
The public ones.
Yeah, the public ones.
Yeah, they're a lot more expensive.
Right, okay.
So then you have all of the extra costs of insurance and all the extra costs of the parts, and obviously the charging costs are really high as well. And in fact, it's just not that good for the planet. If you really want to make a sustainable motoring choice, buying a second-hand petrol car is probably the most sustainable thing you can do.
What needs to change to encourage people to buy electric cars, if you think that is the right approach, Catherine?
Well, I don't. I think electric cars are a bad thing because they use a whole lot of different minerals to build them. There's far more stuff that goes into making an electric car than into making a conventional car. And they also use a lot more energy. So you need to do a certain mileage to break even just from that initial extra energy from making it, the emissions that come from that. So I think, you know, we really need either better combustion engines or a different type of battery technology to come along to make these things cleaner.
Thank you for your time. Appreciated. Catherine Porter is independent energy consultant and founder of What Logic. Just waving at Alan Jones, who's walking past. There we go. 20 to 10 is the time. Nick's in Colnbrook. Hello, Nick.
Hi, mate. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
With that subject coming up, I've just got to say the government blundered. They should have gone hydrogen, not electric, and then this problem wouldn't be arising.
How so?
Getting back to your fears of the alcohol.
Yes.
To start with on that one, when I met the lady that I'm with now and have been for the last 7 years, her ex-husband unfortunately was an alcoholic and died of drinking. So as I did like a drink, but not too bad, but she said I did go overboard when I did have a drink. So eventually I said, look, I really worry you. I'll stop drinking. She said, you can't. I said, I can and I will. And I'll stop for a year. And to her surprise, I did, and I stopped for a whole year, no problem whatsoever. And it was actually her that broke our fast and had a glass of wine one night. I said, well, if you could have a drink, so could I. And we've been okay with that. But recently, in fact, it was on the 23rd of December, as I was on my own for a night, I thought I'd have one of those on my own parties, and managed to consume half a bottle of Bacardi with 2 litres of Coke. And gave myself an inflamed stomach, which basically is like having indigestion, but it doesn't go away. I've got my some tablets now, which will calm that down in about a week or so. And I've done no harm, fortunately. But so, like I say, at the end of the day, I'm now going to be off the booze for a few weeks at least to make sure that that all settles down. The nice thing is all my Christmas presents, which involve cans of beers and bottle of booze, are all now filled up in the cupboard and looks quite a display for a change.
Yeah, they're not empty, they're full.
Exactly.
Do you?
Can I also bridge your subject? You're going to have the dentist come up in a moment.
Yeah.
It's only a quick point. I went to my dentist one time and he said, my God, your teeth are terrible. You need to go and see a private one. And they sent me to see them and they said, my God, they really are bad. We're going to have to rip half of them out and charge me £80 to tell me this. And I thought, no way, my teeth are fine. If it's going to be the situation of paying them £1,200 to rip half my teeth out, I'll keep what I've got and see where it leads. We're talking 20 years later. I've got 2 wisdom teeth that are loose, but the rest are still in my head. I'm still able to eat with all of them, and I'm in no pain. And nice. I have bought a pair of pliers because I pulled out 1 wisdom tooth myself. And that is the only problem I've had with my teeth. Imagine how much money I've saved not going to the dentist. And I do wonder, as it's our wisdom teeth that seem to be the first ones to go, though they were the last ones to arrive, it's got to be a situation that we all clean our front ones very well. I don't think we work very hard on the back.
I think you're right. Well, the gums often get in the way, don't they? You commented on EVs.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have we told that? It's teeth are all right, but your gums have got to go.
Well, that's true. You commented on EVs, dry Januaries, and also the dentist. Are you going to be watching The Traitors tonight? Then we'll have a clean sweep of you commenting on all our stories.
That programme frustrates me to death because it's a repeat of the same format going on and on and on. And I hate programmes that just keep going on about each other. Oh, shall I? Are they lying? Oh, go away. It's like watching Deal or No Deal. Same process.
No, it's not. You've alienated me, I'm afraid, Nick. But I wish you a happy new year. Nick in Colnbrook. 0345 60 60 973 is the number to call. Come back to your views on that and electric vehicles in just a moment. 9:44 is the time. I mentioned earlier on there was this press conference my colleague Fraser Knight mentioned after several dozen, the news that we brought you earlier on, several dozen presumed dead in a New Year's Eve fire at a Swiss ski resort bar. Fraser Knight is LBC's reporter and joins me in the studio now. It's still going on, I can see, but what have we learned, Fraser?
We've learned a lot about the scale of this, Henry. Several dozen presumed dead after this fire inside the bar. 100 or so also injured significantly, they say, many of them with burns injuries, so much so that they've actually told us that the intensive care capacity is full in the region of Valais, and so they have put out this plea to people not to do any dangerous activities. Now, of course, this is in the Swiss Alps, so that is presumably a plea for people not to ski. A major, major fire in which the president of the state council has said what should have been an evening of celebration turned into a nightmare for the area. A huge, huge emergency response. We've heard that there were 10 helicopters mobilised, 40 ambulances after the fire started at around 1:30 a.m. They have ruled out a terror attack. They say that there is no question of an attack here and that it was a fire that started within the premises, but still they haven't been able to give any more information about how that started. It's always interesting listening to these press conferences when they are happening abroad. Of course, you have the benefit of the reporters on the ground asking questions from what they've been hearing from witnesses there. One of them had said that they had the impression that people were trapped inside. They asked the question of where were the fire exits? Did this building meet safety regulations? Now, the police and the prosecutor responded saying that, of course, will be part of the investigation. They don't have the details there. And there was another who had suggested, and we did report this earlier, local media, saying that there may have been fireworks inside the venue that actually led to this fire. Again, they haven't been able to say whether or not that was the cause. They say that will be part of the investigation. But the fact of this language saying several dozen people presumed dead means that they are still, of course, working through that building, trying to find the victims. And they say several nationalities as well. This is a very popular ski resort, including with tourists from the UK. And so they say they have set up these processes to work with foreign governments to inform them of the victims and, of course, to speak to their families, because there will be lots of people who are concerned about people who were there. This is Crans, Montana, in the Valais region, and so this investigation still very much in its early stages, they say, but the scale of that, more than 100 people injured, several dozen dead, and hospitals at capacity.
Thank you, Fraser. Fraser Knight, LBC's reporter. More from Fraser throughout the course of the morning with my colleagues here on LBC. Come back to your views on Dry January in a moment. 9:47 is the time. The news is with Lottie Morley.
Swiss police say several dozen people are presumed dead after a fire at a ski resort bar. The Prime Minister is promising to defeat decline and division by staying on course this year. And as cold weather alerts are issued, many households will see their energy bill rise today. LBC weather, a really cold and frosty start to the year with some snow and ice in the north, a high of 9 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays on the M25 anti-clockwise heading up towards Junction 5 at the M26. It's because of an accident where one lane is closed. In Morden, Central Road stays closed both ways. That's following an accident. And in Eltham, Newmarket Green is closed both ways because of an ongoing police investigation. In Central London, because of the New Year's Day parade, lots of roads are closed. This parade starts at Green Park on Piccadilly. So Piccadilly is closed up to Piccadilly Circus, and then roads all the way down to Whitehall, including Trafalgar Square, are closed. So definitely do expect delays. And because of engineering work, southeastern trains aren't going to Charing Cross and Waterloo East throughout today.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, Ian Dale.
Coming up, should Shamima Begum face British courts? Plus, as January begins, is veganism on the wane?
Ian Dale at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
When you're smiling,
don't let missing teeth stop you smiling. At Banning Dental, our experts could restore your beautiful smile with premium dental implants. See online for our price match promise. Banning Dental Group Clinics. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, and the whole world smiles with you.
Banningdental.co.uk.
There's one green bottle sat on my fridge shelf. This green and white bottle that supports my gut health. Beautiful by nature, and biotiful by name. It's the tastiest way to up my gut health game.
Biotiful Gut Health. Upgrade your yogurt to the UK's number one kefir and reset your gut health with Biotiful.
Kefir is a source of calcium which contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes. For verification of UK's number one kefir, see biotafulguthealth.com/radio.
Okay, time for a proper breather. This new year, get 15% off when you book two consecutive nights or more at Premier Inn. Visit the family, then escape them. Back to a luxury bed instead of your auntie's sofa. Or head off on a city break that feels like a real break with checkout at midday. Start the new year with Premier Inn. Get better sleep for your money. Book by 12th of Jan for stays between 29th of Jan and 30th of April. Standard rate rooms, UK only. Exclude Central London. Terms apply. See premierinn.com.
At ulisprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulisprosperity.com.
EasyJet's Big Orange Sale is now on. Beat the blues and book the beach with up to £400 off package holidays and up to 20% off flights. EasyJet, get out there. Selected dates and flights. Flight sale ends 3rd of Feb. Holiday sale ends 3rd of March. Min spend and ATOL protected. T's and C's apply.
Leading Britain's conversation with Henry Reilly. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
10 to 10 is the time. Chandra, Rob, coming to you on the subject of dry January in a moment. First, though, a retired police detective, a crime novelist, and a psychologist will be among the players sitting at the round table on the new series of The Traitors when kickoff begins today, New Year's Day. I think it happens at around 8 o'clock. Is it 8 o'clock? Yeah, 8 o'clock. The 22 new contestants also include a poker-playing gardener, a barrister, a cybersecurity consultant, a civil servant, it sounds like a bad joke, doesn't it? A builder, a nursery school teacher, and a personal trainer. But can the normal series, quote-unquote, really be anywhere near as successful as what we saw with the celebrity series just a few months ago? I'll be honest, I will give it a go because I love The Traitors, but I don't know if I can go back to the normal series after how good it was with my global colleagues, Jonathan Ross from Classic FM and all of the other, that was I'm a Celebrity, wasn't it? And Alan Carr as well on the celebrity Traitors. Can it really go back to the old formats? Dr. Rachel Molitor is lecturer in psychology at Coventry University, an expert in the psychology of reality TV, and I read a Traitors super fan.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us. Can I start with that first question? Obviously, the celebrity series was so successful. Is there any appetite to go back to sort of regular people?
Regular people, yeah. Yes, absolutely. I think that the celebrity one really kind of gave a bit of an insight into the celebrity world and this idea of people we already know. So we already had preconceived ideas of these celebrities. We knew who they were from their shows, from what they do. Whereas this, the normal everyday folk that are going into there, it means that we get more of an excitement. We don't know who they are and we don't know anything about them, so it's going to be a nice fresh blank slate to be able to start this new twists and turns of The Traitors.
We've had some twists and turns in the previous series. I remember one, there was it Diane and her son turned out to be one of the other participants. Then there was a boyfriend and girlfriend and they kept that hidden from everyone. Do you expect more twists and turns, Rachel?
Oh, absolutely. I think if we didn't have twists and turns, I think The Traitors celebrities has brought in a whole new audience of people who want to be able to now watch you, now understand a little bit more about the game. But yes, it's always going to be twists and turns. It's interesting to hear a psychologist is going to be in it because people are automatically going to be looking for them, thinking, well, what are they thinking? How can they perceive this sort of human behaviour, which I find absolutely fascinating. Yes, I'm a super fan, but also watching this from a psychological point of view is just so very interesting. There will absolutely be twists and turns because it's The Traitors and that's what they do.
What I loved about the celebrity version is you had these big minds in there, like Stephen Fry, who most people are sort of associate as being one of the cleverest people in the country, David Olusoga, eminent academic, and yet it was sort of Joe Marler, the rugby player, and Alan Carr who really shone through. It's difficult to sort of boil down, isn't it? There's no specific skill sets.
I think that the skill set is actually about being yourself. And I think that's really interesting. When we've seen some of the greatest minds in there, you know, we had Stephen Fry and he was really trying to work out people and work out human behaviour. But actually, sometimes we have something called anchoring bias, where we see something at the very beginning of the round table. Automatically, we take from that straight away. And even Stephen Fry said himself, you know, that actually there is no fact in there. It was all the fact of understanding what people are saying, what they're thinking, and how they are dealing in that situation. So that social psychology element of that round table takes away any of these fabulous, incredible, intelligent minds and actually works on human behaviour and understanding body language and understanding when people might potentially be changing from their normal level of personality.
We saw National Treasure Celia Imrie breaking wind on the Celebrity Traitors, which became a bit of a standout moment of 2025 for a lot of people. If I could draw on your expertise, Rachel, what is the psychology of the traitors that makes it so addictive to us at home?
I think it's so addictive because we like to be able to watch people lie. We love to be able to see deceiving. We like to be able to sit back. It's this level of escapism, first of all. So we like to sit back and watch something completely different to our everyday lives. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, I don't live in a castle. I don't watch people lie and I don't murder people at night time. Mm. So it's a little bit different from my everyday life. Kind of, no, I'm joking. But it is about watching this deception, also sitting back and watching what happens. So evolutionary psychology says it's really good to be able to see these difficult situations happen because it's nice to see how it works out, whether people can lie and get away with it. And we can learn from this potentially if we do tell little white lies, which again, many people do, or also what would happen if we don't get away with it. So the consequences for this. So having that opportunity to sit back and watch things which we wouldn't dare do ourselves necessarily. It's really interesting to be able to see that human behaviour playing out.
Thank you very much for your time and Happy New Year. Dr. Rachel Molitor is lecturer in psychology at Coventry University, expert in the psychology of reality TV and a Traitors superfan. Chandra, with you in a second. First, though, Rob is on the Isle of Wight to talk about EVs. And you disagree with the guest we had on, Rob.
Yes, good morning and Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
Well, I've got experience from, 8 years now. 2017, I bought my first electric car, and I actually still have that one. And I was beginning to think the lady, I'll say something controversial, was perhaps sponsored by Shell or BP, because some of the claims she
made. Well, let's not attack the guest who's not here. Well, look, this is what LBC's about, Rob. You can have your say.
I'll get on to the points then. Good. First of all, she mentioned pollution. Has she ever heard of, or has anybody ever heard of, the Torrey Canyon disaster or Exxon Valdez?
Yes.
I would like to point them. How many times have you driven down a road and the car in front of you, petrol or diesel, because petrol's the pistons do wear out, start pumping blue oil when somebody puts their foot down, and you're then breathing in poisonous fumes. Servicing and general running costs. I only ever paid for one service because that's the only thing the car's ever needed, and that was £300 in 2018. Since then, the only thing the car's had done to it is it's set the tyres, and they've had the brake checked every other year, as well as the MOT, but I get an extra special check on that. And every 3 years, we change the brake fluid. So the serving costs are nothing.
Well, she was saying, our guess, though, that at the start it's cheaper, and then the longer it goes on, it gets more expensive.
No, she said it was expensive to start with.
Well, she was talking about charging at home, sorry, though. She was saying it's cheaper than a petrol car when you charge at home.
Yes, it is very, very much cheaper if you charge at home. If I charge at home, I'm paying about 25 pence per kilowatt, for instance, and 25 pence will get me about...
Ian Dale has an intervention here. Hold on. Can we get Ian Dale's mic up? Here we go.
I'm sorry. If you're with Octopus Energy, it's 7 pence.
It depends on which contract you're on.
Well, you want to be on the right one, and then you have to pay 25 pence, Rob. You need to look at your contract, mate.
Yeah, the only trouble is my house has got electric underfloor heating, unfortunately.
Ian.
And to have that on during the day and to change that contract, I balance the two out. Yeah.
Any response, Ian?
But I do agree with you, Ian, that when I was doing a lot of miles and I lived on the mainland, I was on Express and I was with Agile.
Okay.
And it was very, very good.
Thank you, Rob. on commission there.
Little ray of sunshine.
I know. I think I remember reading a piece from Ian Dale in the Telegraph about his experience with EVs. So,
I've got another one.
Have you got another one?
Yeah,
oh, I didn't actually know that.
I've gone back, yeah, because the range is bigger.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
How long's a range?
Well, it's supposed to be 370 miles. It's actually about 280.
You've got the radio on, you've got all the lights
exactly.
on and everything. Thank you very much.
You use up a lot of electricity, Henry.
Yes, exactly. You've always got me on. I've got, it's loosely called a Renault Clio. It's my mum's 25-year-old Renault Clio. I mean, how it still runs is unbelievable. It's only done 40,000 miles in 25 years. Unbelievable. Thank you for all of your messages. If you miss any of the show, you can listen back on Catch Up on Global Player or the LBC app where you can pause and rewind live Live Radio. That's the LBC app. Download it for free from your app store now. At one on LBC, it's Sheila Fogarty. But right now, he's been charging all morning waiting for this. It's Ian Dale.
Thank you very much, Henry. Well, the European Court of Human Rights is asking the British government why it made Shamima Begum stateless, with a clear intention of finding against the decision. Surely this sort of decision should be made by us, without any interference. But having said that, should she be repatriated to face a British court? At 11, as M&S launch a range of ready meals aimed at people on weight loss jabs, that's me, how are they working for you? And what side effects have you experienced? At 12, as Veganuary begins, are you taking part, or do you agree with my view that the popularity of veganism is on the wane? And if it is, why? Could it be that people have come to realise that a balanced diet is the best way forward for everyone?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, several dozen people are presumed dead after a major fire in a bar at a popular ski resort. Swiss police say more than 100 people were also injured in La Constellation Bar in Crom, Montana. LBC's Fraser Knight says it happened just after 1:30 a.m. local time.
As people were inside this bar in Crom, Montana, called the Constellation Bar, celebrating the new year, we're told more than 100 people were inside when there were reports of an explosion and then a fire that tore through that venue. We're seeing images this morning of a huge emergency response there. It is a very popular ski resort, 25 miles north of the Matterhorn, very popular with tourists from all over the world, including here in the UK.
Authorities say several different nationalities were involved and they do not think it was terror-related. In his New Year message, the Prime Minister has said he will work to defeat decline and division. Sergei Starmer has said he knows life is still harder than it should be for many people across the country. Labour commentator Paul Richards has told LBC he was impressed by Sergei's speech.
The tone is just right, and it's all about tone. Nobody really remembers the words, but how they feel is important. And if he just rocked up and said, oh, everything's marvellous, it's all going terribly well, you know, carry on, it would have been exactly the wrong tone. So for him to come in and say, you know, things are pretty rough, I think is the right thing. But he then introduced an element of hope, which is what this whole government strategy is based on. Tough decisions now with payoff down the line.
Millions around the world have been celebrating the new year with 100,000 on the banks of the River Thames. London's Mayor Sir Sadiq Khan says the celebrations in the capital are the greatest in the world. Anthony Joshua has been discharged from hospital after he was involved in a car crash in Nigeria. The former world heavyweight boxing champion is said to have made a miracle recovery as two of his close friends died in the accident. People here have been laying flowers outside the gym he owns in North London. And marching bands, cheerleaders and acrobats will take part in a celebration in London to mark the new year later. There are lots of road closures as the annual parade takes place across the West End. LBC weather, a really cold and frosty start to the year with some snow and ice in northern parts. Staying dry and sunny elsewhere though with a high of 9 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Lottie Morley.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission. And it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ian Dale.
Hello, a very good morning and happy New Year's Day. It's 3 minutes past 10 on LBC. Welcome to the programme. It's Ian Dale here with you until one. It's my penultimate day sitting in for James O'Brien. I've really enjoyed it so far, so let's hope we have another good programme today. Now, I want to start off by talking about the vexed subject of Shamima Begum, who has been the subject of, I would say, probably several hundred phone-ins on LBC since she went to Syria as a 15-year-old in 2015. Now, many of you will remember that in 2019, the then Home Secretary, Sajid Javid, he withdrew her British citizenship, which caused quite a furore at the time. His logic was that, well, she had Bangladeshi citizenship as well, so she wasn't being made stateless. Well, Bangladesh denied that, and she is in effect stateless at the moment. So the argument has gone, well, should a British government really do this? And do they not have a duty to somebody who has had been for all of her life a British citizen? And she should come back to this country to face British courts. Now, that is where the situation was until yesterday, when the European Court of Human Rights decided to intervene, which I found quite perplexing in some ways, because why haven't they done it before? If they had a problem with this decision, why didn't they question it in the 6 years that have passed since 2019? So they have essentially sent the current Home Secretary, Shabana Mahmood, a series of questions which they want her to answer. Now, it seems to me that the reason they're doing this is because they intend to launch a full inquiry into this decision by the UK government, with the intention of finding against the UK government. Now, why would they do that? Because it seems very strange timing when you have a big debate in this country about whether Britain should continue as members of the European Court of Human Rights. We can all have our views on whether it would be right to withdraw from that. I've always taken the view that we shouldn't. But I must admit, I don't really see what this inquiry, well, what this whole issue has got to do with a court which hasn't intervened on it before. So, two questions. Should the ECHR have a right to intervene on something like this? Do you think it will fuel those who believe that we should withdraw from it? And second of all, Shamima Begum's position herself. I mean, she's now, I think, 26 years old. She is languishing in a refugee camp in Syria with really no hope of ever leaving it, I guess, because she can't go anywhere. Now, I used to take the view, I mean, I have done a complete 180 degrees on this. I used to think, good riddance, we don't want people like her in this country, and she's got to live by her decisions. But she was 15 when she went to Syria, and there are accusations that she was effectively groomed or trafficked to Syria. Well, she was effectively still a child at the age of 15. Is it right that we just wash our hands of her in these circumstances? Now, what she did was appalling. She married a terrorist. She had three children by this terrorist, none of whom survived. Effectively, she was supporting ISIS, an organisation which wants to effectively see the destruction of the West. So I can't defend her in any shape or form, and nor am I going to. But I do believe that the decision to withdraw citizenship from her was wrong in retrospect. So you may well be able to find evidence of me saying the direct opposite at the time, but having thought about it, I've changed my mind on it. Now, I think that's the strength when you can change your mind, things when you're convinced of a case, and okay, maybe I should have been convinced of it a lot earlier, but I have changed my mind. I wonder if you have too. Do you think that she should come back to this country, not to lead a free, normal life, but to face British courts? But the problem is, you see, when I say that she should face British courts, the likelihood is that human rights lawyers would say, well, there's no evidence against her. The prosecution has to provide evidence that she voluntarily went to Syria, that she actually overtly supported ISIS, and she took actions which could be described as aiding terrorism. I think that may well be quite a difficult case to prove. 0345 6060 973. Matthew Holbert is a political commentator and joins me now. Matthew, you've always been very robust on human rights, but why do you think it is here that the ECHR has decided to intervene after 6 years? Because presumably they could have done at the time, but chose not to.
Well, morning, Ian, and Happy New Year to you and, of course, to your listeners. Yeah, I mean, this is a difficult place, isn't it? I mean, I think many people would think that they don't have much sympathy for this person. But I guess my rhetorical question would be, you know, is it only human rights for people we have sympathy with? I mean, that clearly can't be the case. They are either universal and for everyone, or they're not. And you spelled out